1 hour from right now, the award-winning, excellent host of Survivor, Jeff Probst, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then Kevin walks us through the premiere last night of Game of Arms. Forget the Game of Thrones. Arm wrestling's where it's at. Can't wait to hear about that.
We might need to talk to one of these combatants.
Hells yeah.
Yeah.
Love to. First, though, I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
The Sunshine State, America's penis, whatever you want to call it, Florida has got it going on. And this week, maybe more than any other week, we have to ask what's up with Florida. Kevin, I know you saw this story yesterday about the woman who called 911. Just after 6 o'clock two nights ago, Maria Montanez Colon was just horny, basically, is why she called 911. I mean, it was under the guise of she couldn't find her car. But she called the police officer who arrives at her home, and she's very drunk. The woman is 58 years old and is not as hot as you want her to be when you hear the story.
She doesn't look a day over 78.
She told the officer, hey, you're sexy. She asked if he was married, according to the incident report. And then she started, as the article explains, oversharing, telling the officer, I haven't been penetrated in years. Adding, I'm so horny. The officer tried to steer the conversation back to the topic of the call, asking what he could do for her. Her response was, you can F me, according to the report. The officer left. Less than an hour later, she called 911 again, complaining that the first officer who had come to her home had ticked her off. The original officer arrived along with a second officer, and then she said, he was a perfect gentleman, but when I asked him to F me, he turned me down, and that made me so angry. When asked by the original officer, she remembered the conversation about, hey, you know you're misusing 911 by keep calling us this. She said, I do, but how else am I going to get you to F me?
Well, but that didn't work, so it's going to have to be another way.
She was arrested, by the way, and booked once again for misusing 911. It is her fifth arrest since the beginning of 2013. So she's having a hell of an evening. Also in Florida, again, how bizarre is this state? You know, the Stand Your Ground law has been in the news a lot lately because of the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case. And then, you know, the guy who felt like he was threatened by the teenagers with the loud music. And then the other guy who thought he was threatened by the guy throwing popcorn in the movie theater. Everybody's shooting everybody down in Florida. And they all just go, oh, stand your ground. I felt threatened.
Right.
Which is all you need in Florida. If you feel threatened, you're allowed to shoot and kill somebody. This is a blind man in Florida who had shot and killed a drinking buddy in 2012, has now been reunited with his guns. He was not prosecuted for the crime because he used stand your ground. Now, I don't know why this blind guy who's drinking with a friend thought that he was in danger, but he shot and killed somebody, and he had to sue to get his guns back because they said, look, we're not prosecuting you for the crime, but you can't have guns.
Yeah, why
I don't
is
know,
a blind guy have
maybe because you're
guns?
Blind. Right. The judge said he had no choice but to give the man, John Wayne Rogers, his guns back. I have to return property that was taken under circumstances. I have researched and found that there is no case law to say otherwise. So he has been reunited with his Glock handgun and his Remington assault rifle that he shot James DeWitt, 34, with from a distance of 18 inches back in 2012, by the way.
Oh, my God.
So this blind guy now gets his guns back. By the way, earlier it was reported that he had fired 15 rounds from a handgun at his cousin during another drunken night 4 years ago, but told reporters he wants to continue to stay armed because it is his constitutional right. That's what's going on in Florida, by the way.
How about a little law change there?
Here's a Florida man accused of stalking his ex-girlfriend. He called the woman 145 times in the span of 11 hours on Friday. Look, it's been a while since I've been in a new relationship. But if a woman doesn't answer the first 130 times you call, don't you give up.
I think maybe that lower number needs to be way lower. Like, let's say 5.
Kirk Tribb, 36, lives in Pompano Beach, faces charges of aggravated stalking. He allegedly called the woman's Boca Raton workplace, and when a police officer answered the phone, he said, I'm not scared of the cops. I'll give you my address. You'll have to call the SWAT team on me. So, of course, they did, and he was arrested. So he made a lot of very bad choices. Two more in this edition of What's Up with Florida. Here's a man maybe you saw on the news, a South Florida artist who was very upset that the local museum, the Perez Art Museum in Miami, was displaying so much work from international artists. He felt that they were missing out on some great local artists such as himself. I did it for all the local artists in Miami that have never been shown in museums here. What the it is that he's referring to is he walked into the museum, picked up a vase, and threw it to the ground, smashing it into many, many pieces. Unfortunately, what he didn't know is that the vase was by a very famous Chinese artist named Ari Weiwei, and it was worth over $1 million. He is now on the hook for that, intentional vandalism, and he's facing felony criminal mischief charges for destroying $1 million in property.
I need to change my last name to Weiwei.
Right? Ollie Wee Wee. And finally, in this edition of What's Up with Florida, the man's name is Eric Ortiz. He has a very interesting way of dealing with his fears. Like many people in America, maybe many of our listeners right now, he is deathly afraid of spiders. Everyone fears spiders, says Ortiz. What did he do to get over his fear? He had a giant tattoo of a black widow spider put on his face.
Yeah!
What? That's why I got it, just to, like, make me know that's what I fear, but not to fear it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Is what he said.
No, we don't.
Everybody looks at it and is like, damn, spider. Because if you're going around your house, you know what I'm saying? You're going to see those spiders. You're going to jump. You're going to jump. So putting one on my face, I say, you know what? I'm going to see what people think. What do people think? He's not the sharpest guy I've ever heard interviewed, by the way.
No kidding.
Some people say, why did you get it? You're never going to get a job. Other people say, it's cool, man. The tattoo on my face, I would never get it, but that one came out pretty cool. He said his girlfriend was mad at him, but he feels like this is the best way to face his fear is by forcing himself to look at a spider every day so he will no longer be afraid of spiders. By the way, he's just a prize in general. He's got a criminal record, including charges of burglary. He's got domestic battery charges, possession of a Schedule 4 substance, retail theft, violation of injunction for protection, loitering, prowling. He's done it all, and now he's doing it all as a felon with a giant Black Widow spider tattoo on his face.
Nice.
That, ladies and gentlemen, makes me ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
From Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., actress Chloe Bennett, who plays Sky on the show, joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. We're going to have actor Shane Dawson on the program later this week. Jeffrey Tambor will be joining us, comedian Adam Ray, director Anton Fuqua, and Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. A lot of good stuff coming this week here on K-Rock.
How would most people know Gerard Depardieu?
Most people would not, but okay, those that do might remember him as a very popular actor from films like Cyrano de Bergerac. Green Card was another very popular movie that he was in. He was also in the news a couple of years ago for, as Lisa reminded us this week, urinating on board a flight.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, he peed in the aisle.
That's right.
And that's why we shouldn't be so surprised to see in a recent interview that he says that sometimes he drinks 14 bottles of wine in a day.
Yay! And insists he's never really totally drunk.
I don't know how. I mean, look, I know that he's a big guy. I mean, I think he could weigh close to 300 pounds, wouldn't you say, Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah.
He's a big, big guy.
Yeah.
But still, when you get to bottle 5, bottle 8, bottle 12, I mean, how are you not drunk?
He says, when I'm bored, I drink.
He's not working much,
so I guess that's all the time.
That's the problem.
It starts at home with champagne or red wine before 10 a.m., then again champagne, then pastis. Is that a kind of liquor? Pastis? Maybe
yes.
Half a bottle.
Don't know.
Then food accompanied by 2 bottles of wine. In the afternoon, for me, it's champagne, beer, and more pastis at around 5 p.m. to finish off the bottle. Later on, it's vodka and or a whiskey. But I'm never totally drunk. All you need is a 10-minute nap, and voila, a slurp of rose wine, and I feel fresh as a daisy. By the way, this isn't the only suspect thing in this particular interview, too. He also says that he was on vacation in Africa recently, and his car broke down. And there were lions in the neighborhood that he says, in self-defense, he shot and killed. Gerard Depardieu.
He killed lions?
He says he shot and killed lions in the jungle, yes, in self-defense.
Are we positive that he hasn't just gone bye-bye?
No.
I'm beginning to wonder if that's something that happened while he was asleep in his head or if he's ever really been to Africa or what. So we asked producer Dave, what's the real deal here? Can you get us the great actor Gerard Depardieu? And I believe he joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hello, sir.
Hello. Hello, Kevin Amin.
welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you doing? You in France right now?
Oui, I'm in France.
Okay. Are you drinking?
I have had several drinks this morning, yes.
We were reading an article here, an interview that you did, where you say you can drink 14 bottles of wine every day and not really...
Maybe 14 bottles of wine a day, yes.
And not really ever be drunk.
No. No, I'm not drunk.
But 14 bottles.
By
yourself?
Of wine a day, yes.
By yourself.
Sure. If I have friends over, I need many more wines.
Okay, so you're sharing it with people.
No, stupid whore.
Wow, hey,
that's
hey.
Hold on a sec. That's a reasonable question.
That's a question?
What's the stupid question?
All right, so you keep
your... If I have more friends, I need more wine.
So you keep your 14 bottles for yourself.
That's right. Yes, for me.
And then you bring in more wine for your friends.
If I have other friends or whores over, yes.
Okay. Are all women whores?
Wow.
What's that about?
Oui, yes, of course. Well, women are whores.
Wow.
Wow, right. That's supposed to be the French way. So 14 bottles doesn't get you drunk. Do you know what would get you drunk? Have you ever been drunk, Gerard?
Well, I have not ever been drunk because I drink and then I pass out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wake up, I am no longer drunk. And so
see.
I have to start again.
Uh-huh. About how long do you sleep?
I don't know. 15, 20 days.
That could be the drug period, though, is what we're saying.
I don't know. I told you I'm drunk, stupid fat dog pig.
Hey, can I just source this lion story? It seems unlikely that your car broke down and you just happened to be there to shoot two lions.
That is what happened.
That is what
calling
you said happened.
Calling me a liar.
Well, I'm just asking.
You are an ugly piece of garbage head face.
That's accurate,
by the way.
You don't know that for a fact, but it is accurate.
I can tell from just stupid questions.
It
from
just
ugly horse face and ugly man of hell.
Now, wait. Am I ugly horse face or am I ugly man of hell?
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. It just seems like that's the type of thing that somebody who's drunk would imagine happened. Is that,
yeah.
Oh, I was in the jungle and I killed a lion. But that couldn't have really happened.
I'm always having adventures.
Yeah.
Like that.
You're always having adventures,
yes.
Like killing two lions?
Oh, hold on, bear. A bear is coming. Kill the bear. I killed him.
Where are you right now?
I am in France.
France. At home, though, where there's a bear?
There was a wild bear.
I was not aware of that.
Why?
In my house.
Why was there a bear in your house?
That seems unlikely. Gerard, why is there a bear in your house in Paris? Hello?
And you didn't even have a gun. You killed that bear with your hands.
I did. Yeah. Oh, wait, I have a gun.
But you don't need it. You already...
Oh, I wish I'd known I had this moments ago.
You already killed the bear.
It's come in handy.
That's right.
What's happening now?
Someone is attacking me with a chainsaw.
Why? In your...
I must stop him.
Don't forget you have a gun. What's that?
I use my taser. I use a taser on him. Now he can no longer attack me with the chainsaw.
Wait, the guy...
Hold on, I must have a sword fight with this man.
You have a dangerous house.
Oh, what now?
Another lion!
How many lions are in your house?
This one followed me from Africa.
What are the chances?
He wants revenge. I killed his family.
You do have a dangerous life, Gerard.
Luckily, I blew him up with dynamite.
You have a lot of tools at your disposal.
Oh, damn it. How did swarm of bees get in my house?
This is a bad day.
I must kill them with my lasers.
Lasers, wow.
Yes, I have a laser gun.
And maybe you should drink less.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, you're happy the way things are.
I am very happy.
Okay.
I have many adventures,
uh-huh.
As you can tell.
Right.
And,
Oh, you were handling things so well. You said you never... What happened? You said you never get drunk.
Because I throw it up.
I see. Okay.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the man has the number one album in America, Mandatory Fun, and he joins us back in studio on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hey, Al, welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
You've never had a number one album in your whole goddamn life, have
I have
you?
Never.
Really?
Never done it. Yeah, I am. It's kind of blowing my mind. I think I'm neck and neck with. I'm currently number one, but Jason Mraz and I are battling it out for a number one on Billboard next week.
Does it go over?
It's neck and neck, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Al, what are your expectations as your career rolls on when it comes time to put out a new album? Is there something in the pit of your stomach that thinks, well, maybe the clock's run out. Maybe the kids aren't waiting for the next one. And then you're pleasantly surprised each time when it continues to sell?
It's a personal thing. No matter how well it does, I want it to be, every album that I put out, to be the best thing that I've ever done. In fact, I like to think that the new album is the best thing anybody has ever done.
Sure.
I put it up against the Mona Lisa and the Sistine Chapel.
In the history of things.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory Fun is the name of the record. It is number one. You can meet Al tonight. Is it even worth mentioning the thing, or is the line already around the block down at Amoeba for 5 o'clock?
You can still make it, sure.
All right.
Yes,
go to Amoeba Records website to get the details on what you need to do to sign up to be in line for Al. What's that like for you? What do people do with their moment that they've waited their whole life for to stand in front of the great Weird Al when they finally get to you?
You know, sometimes they tell me their life story, and sometimes they just want an autograph. So it varies from person to person.
When they're standing there in front of you and there's a long line behind them and they continue talking, how do you deal with that? Do you go, hey,
fire hose. We use the fire hose.
Let's just move along if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be rude. You're a nice guy.
Well, you just, you know, that's why you have the handlers that have the hook. And they go, okay, move it along.
That's
Let's
been
go.
Enough.
You have been doing so much press this week that I, as an Al fan, am having trouble keeping up with all the podcasts you've been on, all the daytime talk shows you've been on, the late night shows you've been on. What's it been like for you since the record came out on Tuesday?
It's just been insane. This is, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time, and I've never had this kind of response. We've been doing a lot of publicity and promotion. My days have been chock full, but I'm expecting, you know, to get the Kevin and Bean bump. I think this is what's going to really push it over the edge.
Sure. Bean comes in every day and goes, I saw Al on this, I saw Al on that, he did a podcast, I followed his Instagram. I don't know what he's talking about.
I have to start taking some time off just to be able to consume all the Al that's being put out there right now. Tell us about the every day this week you've been unveiling a new video for us. You're doing that for 8 days, all 8 different songs from the new album.
Right.
And this is the first time you've done anything like this before. Tell me how you came up with that.
Well, I wanted to do something that would get a lot of attention for the album, and you know, MTV isn't music television anymore, and I knew that I'd have to market this album through the internet almost exclusively. Things go viral on the internet for like a day. Things are really, you know, people are into it for 24 hours.
They consume it, and then it's gone.
Right. Like, if there's a popular video and somebody sends a link like the next day to somebody, they're like, what? That came out yesterday.
Seen it.
So, you know. So I figured, okay, I'll do a video for every single day this week so people will have something to be excited about every single day of the week.
Handy has come out this week. Foil has come out this week. What else do we have?
Tacky
Word
and
Crimes.
Word Crimes.
Jackie, right?
That's
Word
right. That's right. Tacky was that word. And Word Crimes, by the way, that one, and I don't know how you even measure what the most popular song is on the album because there is no single out. I don't know if you have a way to do that. But that is the one that seems to have really pushed a lot of buttons with a lot of people. I mean, that even got the NPR crowd worked out, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are obviously a lot of grammar nerds in that organization. As
he is one of them. He's a grammar nerd.
And a lot of people appreciated the fact that I took a song which was ostensibly kind of rapey and made it into a song that could, you know, possibly be part of a school curriculum.
A lot of people have said this is like the best thing since Schoolhouse Rock. You know, right. You finally are putting out something that kids want to listen to that might actually teach them things. Now, are you? Was this just a device that you saw that you could make a funny song out of, or are you actually in real life a little bit of a grammar nerd?
Well, I'm a total grammar nerd. I mean, if you look at my YouTube channel, which I'm sure you have been, there's a lot of videos of me like driving around town, correcting road signs and correcting signs in the supermarket that say 10 items or less, things like that. So I've got my grammar nerd credentials.
Bean fights everybody when it gets to daylight savings time.
Oh. Daylight saving time.
He does, and he'll write letters to newspapers and TV stations. He's very disappointed in people who don't get that right.
Yeah. But that's legitimate, isn't it, Al? If one way is correct to say it and the other way is wrong, why not do it right?
Absolutely.
And but how much can you care about that? That's my question.
I can care all about that.
I think we should just abolish daylight saving time. That's and electoral college too. While we're at it,
I like it.
That's a great idea. Now, are you old school grammar? Like, do you still care about things like split infinitives, or are you more modern in that? Hey, the message of the sentence is still gets through without it.
Well, you know, I threw a split infinitive at the end of word crimes just so the trolls could get mad about something. Hey,
excellent!
You put a split infinitive. Hey, it's a grammar song. You put a split infinitive. That's one of those things. I don't stress about split infinitives. I don't stress about Oxford commas.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But people that like confuse the three yours, you know, yeah. Your, and your.
That happens a lot.
That drives me crazy.
They should
really
be put down, right?
It does.
What's wrong with both of you?
Well, your, and your. What, doesn't that drive you crazy, Kevin,
no.
When you see that?
No, I see it, and I'll go, that's not right. But I really don't care.
When somebody tweets at me, you're an idiot, you're an idiot.
Well,
that's sweet irony there.
That is
the
best, yeah. If they're insulting you, it does make it more sweet. I agree with
you. All right, Weird Al Yankovic is here. We have to take a quick break. The album is called Mandatory Fun. It is available everywhere and should be bought by everyone within the sound of my voice. As we mentioned, Al has been unveiling a new video from the album every day this week, and the new one for today just unveiled about 15 minutes ago. Where can people see this this one today? Because you're using a different service for each video.
Yeah, today's video is Funny or Die. Okay. They funded the video, and we shot the video with the Riverside Community College Marching Band.
Oh.
And I should mention that all the videos, including the new one, are also at WeirdAl.com, because it is, of course, your one-stop Al shot.
Of course. Yeah.
Sports Song is the name of it. We'll hear a little bit of that and talk some more about that, and the record and everything else that's going on with Al Yankovic, the greatest human ever, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Weird Al Yankovic in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is back with the return of a new album called Mandatory Fun. The number one album in America, by the way.
Is there an album that Bean should be less interested in than Mandatory Fun? Because I've always said Bean is funny.
Uh-huh.
He's not fun. Bean is not
but this,
fun.
But this fun, fun is required,
he's not
though.
Fun.
I Kevin, know. I have no choice but to get fun now because it's required. It's mandatory.
All right.
Sports Song is the first video from the new album that is an original Al song, and those are some of my favorites, Al, and I don't think, I'm serious now when I say I don't think you get half the credit you deserve for the great originals, and I think this is the best batch of original songs you've ever done on one album. I really sincerely mean that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Sports Song is fun, and we're going to play a clip of it here for a second. Set it up for us, and how do you envision this actually making its way out into the world and being sung in stadiums around the country?
Well, that would be nice. I don't know, maybe some high school or college marching band might take up the song, but I wrote it originally because of the big fan driven effort to get me to play at the Super Bowl, which I should say, you know, I understand that's not ever going to happen, but it got me thinking, like, well, if
Bean
I did,
has been on that bandwagon for a long time.
I appreciate that, yeah. But it just got me thinking, like, if I did, like, what would I play? I'd probably play some hits, but I don't have a sports song. I need a sports song in my oeuvre, and this was it.
This was kind of like when you wrote that birthday song a few years ago, because you realized everybody has birthdays, everybody needs a birthday song, and there were very few to pick from. So now we've got something else for sports, right?
I find the vacuum in pop culture, and I fill it.
Nice.
All right, here's a little bit of Sports Song, and you can see this video at WeirdAl.com right now. It's the video of the day today. I think you're going to love it.
In fact, we play teams across the nation, and you're the worst one we've come across. Try to assimilate that information, and it just might help you cope with your impending loss. Oh, and if somehow we are still failing to effectively articulate the points at hand, allow us now to summarize them in a manner that your feeble brains can understand. We're great, and you suck. We're great, and you suck. We're great, and you suck. You see, there's us, and then there's
there's you. You suck. We're really, really great. It's great. In contrast, you really suck. Really suck. Okay, full disclosure, we're not that great, but nevertheless, you suck.
Could have used that for the Seattle-Denver Super Bowl. That's the one you should have been playing that at.
I could totally see the fans shouting that out from the stands.
Catchy, right? Yeah.
Why don't you think the Super Bowl thing might ever happen? I think it's conceivable, Al.
Well,
I mean, honestly, you're a superstar recording act who's got the number one album in America. Why wouldn't they want you to play the halftime at the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't be able to wrap my head around
it
that.
It just
being,
seems just, too big a deal, too big
yeah,
a thing.
I mean, you know, I don't think I'm Beyonce famous, but it's nice to. I'm really thrilled and flattered that there's so many people that are trying to spearhead that effort.
And you've seen those petitions. I mean, thousands of people have signed up for it. I mean, there's genuine interest in it.
I know you're interested.
Yeah,
and you would do it just for the record,
well,
right? You would
do it. I wouldn't turn that down, but I mean,
yeah, I'm
busy not gonna hold my breath.
Yeah, right. I have a Super Bowl party.
Did we bring that up with Rich Eisen the last time we had
yes.
him on Kevin from the?
Have we brought it up every day since the last Super Bowl?
And what did yes, he say? Do you remember what did he say when we talked to him about it? Because we got to get it. There must be somebody at the committee at the NFL who deals with stuff like this that we can get their ear on.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody in charge of halftime. I don't know who that is, though.
All right, I'm gonna make a note of that. Got to make a note of that. Al, next week is the 25th anniversary of your cult classic UHF movie.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
There have been rumblings on Los Internets that you may have some news for us about UHF.
I have some. It's not. There's not a sequel. If you're waiting for that, that's not the news. There's something happening with the movie, but I'm not. You'll be the first person I tell, but I can't
say it
quite
now.
Yet. Yeah.
When are you going to have an announcement? Because that anniversary is coming soon. Are you planning it for that day or sometime sooner?
There might be an announcement at Comic-Con. I'm not quite sure, but it'll be happening soon.
Comic-Con. That's right, next week. That would be perfect. Was UHF a crushing disappointment to you at the time when it came out?
At the time, yeah, because you know it was being built up by Orion Pictures as like their big summer blockbuster. They said, oh, you're going to be our new Woody Allen. It was going to be like a big deal for them, but it went away quickly because it was just this little comedy movie in the middle of a big blockbuster summer with, you know.
Why would they promote it like that? They're setting you up to fail.
I know. And
I
then,
mean,
you know,
really, you're going to be our big blockbuster. That's the worst thing you could say.
Absolutely. So, you know, it was a little crushing just because of that. It didn't do well at the box office. The critics really didn't like it. But it's as you know, it's gone on to kind of cult status over the years. It got its audience and fan base through cable TV and DVD and VHS. And now it's a beloved little comedy film.
And is that one of the things that you hear the most from when fans see you on the street is about UHF?
That's one of them, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own thing that they know me for, but UHF is certainly way up there, yeah.
What is the number one thing that people talk to you about?
They talk to me about previous appearances on Kevin and Bean.
But seriously. No, but really.
What happened to the Hawaiian shirts? You get that a lot?
Well, I still wear Hawaiian shirts. I usually don't wear them out in public so much, though, because it's sort of like, you know, calling a little bit of attention to myself.
Hey,
so.
Look at me. I'm
right.
Wendell.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Can you put your hair up under a baseball cap and be kind of anonymous, Al?
No. Not
really.
Not
so
much. No.
Nope.
The thing that's most shocking to me, and I know that people do this to you on the street because I see them do it to you in interviews all the time, is people try to sell you on song ideas. They come up to you and say, oh, I've got a pair. Al, listen, here's what you should be doing. My idea.
Have you ever taken one of those?
See, this is why I rarely leave the house.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's crazy about it is, look. Al's got parodies down, okay? Al's doing fine with that. It's like chasing down Mike Trout from the Angels and saying, let me tell you how to hit home runs. I mean, you don't go to Al and plus, even if they had a fantastic idea, you wouldn't want to use it, right? Because
then
they sue you for it.
Yeah, but I understand it because, I mean, people think of ideas in the third grade and think, oh, if I ever run into Weird Al Yankovic 30 years from now, I'll have to let him know.
Well, you are the guy that writes song about foil. So, I mean, really, that's, you know, they're in third grade, baby. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm not sure I followed your point there, Kevin.
I'm just saying. I'm just rolling with it.
All right, good.
Al, do you find that in 2014 there are still any kids playing the accordion like you did coming up?
I'm not really sure. I probably not quite as many. I don't think accordion schools are quite as busy as they were when I was a kid. But I'm trying to bring sexy back to the accordion, as you well know.
Sure.
So we'll see.
The accordion was already on the way out when you picked it up as a teenager, right?
Yeah, the Lawrence Welk show didn't do it any favors in terms of its hip factor.
Why did you pick it up?
It wasn't my idea.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents made that life-altering decision for me. So
really?
They figured, you know, when you play the accordion, you're a one-man band. You're the life of every party.
They said, son, you're not getting beat up enough. We want you to pick up the accordion.
They just didn't want me to date in high school.
All right, we got to take another quick break. Weird Al Yankovic is here on the Kevin Bean Show. I can already tell we're going to run out of questions in the available time. Hey, before we do break, I have one more mandatory fun question that I want to ask, and this is something that came up this week that I think our listeners would love hearing from you. You ran into Graham Nash last year.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I was doing a satellite radio tour in New York City for one of my children's books, and I had just finished recording Mission Statement, which was my pastiche of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and I found out that Graham Nash was actually in the next room. So I walked over to say hi, and he comes out of the room, and he sees me, and before he can even say hi, he says, "So when are you going to do a parody of one of my songs? When are you going to do a parody of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes?" And I said, "Well, Graham, since you mentioned it," and I pull out my iPhone and I play Mission Statement for him. And he goes, "Oh, instant request. Thank
well
you.
Done." Yeah.
That must have just blown his mind that you had that in your pocket and he didn't even know it existed. Yeah. And it was already done.
Yeah, he loved it, yeah.
That is very funny. And here's one more follow-up question, and then we do have to take a break, because Ralph and I were debating this on the air earlier this week. Your band, who I've seen live numerous times in concert, seems to be able to play every single kind of music, whatever you throw out. I mean, if you want to do hard rock, if you want to do polka, if you want to do a ballad, whatever, they seem to be able to do it. Do they all play on your records, too, or do you bring in studio musicians to make them sound as much as possible like the hits you're covering?
No, it's the same band that I've had since the very beginning, since the early 80s. They're on all the tours. They're on all the albums. You know, they've stuck with me, and we were old friends, and I'm just grateful that early on in my career, I managed to find some of the best musicians in the world.
Do they do other stuff in between albums?
Yeah.
Well, they have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not on retainer, so they, right. they do other things, and they you know, they do other projects. Some of them have their own recording studios. But thankfully, whenever I'm on tour, they stop everything and follow me around.
Isn't that incredible, though,
That's
when you consider
cool.
how many styles of music that you ask them to do? I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find musicians that versatile.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they get quite enough respect from the general population because, you know, they think, oh, comedy music, yeah, you know, they don't realize that you need as your chops have to be as good, if not better, than normal music because you have to know all these different genres of music.
Right.
Astonishing. Weird Al Yankovic, CD signing is going to be this afternoon starting at 5 o'clock at Amoeba Records. You can go to Amoeba's website for details on how to line up and what the restrictions are. But if you want a chance to meet Al in person, that is going to be this afternoon. The album is called Mandatory Fun. It's number one, if we haven't mentioned that already. And we got one more segment with Al when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin.
I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.
Yeah, we know. We're on the air now, Bean.
Hey!
Bean, we're on the air.
Where did that come from? No, we need to bring that up. That was private conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Weird Al Yankovic time.
He couldn't fit weird, so it was just Al.
Oh.
How dare you. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Patricia writes in, "Please pass this on to Al. I will be showing my students in high school English class Word Crimes, his new video, not just for the educational aspect, but because he can say for us what all English teachers want to tell their kids, that they look like morons who drool if they write, speak, and text like that. So thank you, Al."
My pleasure.
Tisha writes in, "Don't forget to ask Al if he had to get permission from Marvin Gaye's family for word crimes like Robin Thicke got in trouble for. What's the story with that, Al?"
Well, Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye's estate sued each other because, you know, Blurred Line sounds a lot like a Marvin Gaye song.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how that got resolved exactly. I know that we just got permission from, Robin Thicke and Pharrell and the people that wrote Blurred Line. So I'm not sure,
So they might be coming after you at some point. Maybe we shouldn't put that out there.
Maybe I should preemptively sue Marvin Gaye
that
like Robin
like
Thicke.
That sounds like what they did,
yeah.
Right.
It's a good idea.
Sue him today.
Right.
Amoeba Records this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Comic-Con next week. You're not exactly sure what you're going to be doing.
The Saturday of Comic-Con.
Saturday, okay. Okay, great. You were telling us, because I know a lot of people are looking for tour information. Nothing this year. No Weird Al tour this year, right?
No, but the mandatory tour will definitely commence in 2015.
You have been talking a lot this week about how this is the end of your record contract, and it sounds like you're kind of joking a little bit about your 32-year deal. Clearly, at some point, you extended along the way. It didn't start out as a 32-year deal, right?
Yeah,
that wasn't the plan.
It sounds like hyperbole, but it literally has been 32 years since I signed my record contract.
Really?
Really, 32 years. I signed in 1982, so if you're doing the math, that's 32 years.
But did it say for the next 32 years?
No, here's what it was. I was working in the mailroom when I signed my record. record deal, and it was a 10-album deal. It was just a joke. Like, yeah, like, I'll have 10 albums.
Yeah, of course you didn't laugh at that.
You didn't think you'd have 10 songs when you signed that thing.
No, but then, you know, a few years went by, and we renegotiated the contract, as one does, and they tacked a couple more albums onto the deal.
Ah.
And then we renegotiated yet again, and they tacked a couple more albums onto the deal. So it became a 14-album contract.
Oh, my God.
And Mandatory Fun is album number 14. This is it.
So now you're a free man.
I'm a free man.
Wow. Now, do they want you to come back and re-sign, and you've just said no? Or is that company out of business now?
No, it's Sony, so they're still in business as far as I know. But I don't think they're going to come back. I mean, I think we both kind of smell the coffee. This is probably the end of the line for a while.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, look, I can understand with artists that aren't popular and don't sell, but I mean, obviously you're still making money for them. You would think that they would want to hang on to you, and that the reverse would be true, where you would go, I don't need Sony anymore because of the internet.
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to being an independent artist because, I mean, my label's been very supportive all these years, but I kind of feel like I could probably make a go of it on my own at this point.
Well,
at least I'd like to give it a shot, you know.
You wouldn't have to give somebody else 99% of your royalties.
And that as well. That's a big part of it.
By the way, we are being told that Foil is the number one video on YouTube right now.
Oh, no kidding.
So that continues to be big. And the new one that we just played clips from a moment ago is Sports Song. That's Al's new video that you can see at WeirdAl.com, which also crashed a few minutes ago. just an insane week.
It's crazy.
We only have a couple minutes left, Al. I have to ask, are there any statues of you anywhere?
Because Bean has one.
Really? Not to my knowledge. I had a bust of my head that a fan made me, and it's in my garage, so does that count?
Has anyone ever made a Weird Al out of butter or anything like that? I'm curious because I know you have such rabid fans. I'm wondering what kind of stuff you've seen throughout the years that they've made as tributes to you.
No, I've seen a lot of bizarre fan art. A lot of it's up on in the gallery on my website. I don't remember there being a butter bust of me, but there could be.
All right, butter people, let's get going. Come on now.
Have you seen a lot of Weird Al tattoos throughout the years?
I have, yeah, a few, you know, several dozen, oddly enough, and it kind of makes me want to step up my game because I figure, okay, if you've got my image permanently inscribed on your body, I can't suck now.
Yeah, you need to keep going for a long time.
I gotta keep going.
Yeah, just to justify that tattoo.
Right.
Is there anyone in the music business, Al, that you feel about the way your hardcore fans feel about you? Somebody that you just geek out around?
I don't get starstruck too much, except for the people that I idolized when I was a kid. So the couple times that I've been around Paul McCartney, I become just like a sniveling fool. I just can't
put a sentence together.
Yeah, I try to be normal with him and talk to him like an adult human being, which is what I assume he would appreciate.
Sure,
but it's just hard for me to complete my sentences. You know,
I'll bet that's true with a lot of people around him, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure he runs into that everywhere he goes.
I got to direct him in a video for Al's Brain in 3D for the Orange County Fair. I can now say that I've directed Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
But I did it at Coachella a couple years ago, and there was a guy from the BBC there, very proper BBC gentleman, and he was going to interview Paul McCartney before me. And he just seemed very prim and proper, and like 5 minutes before Paul McCartney gets there, he's like, I can't believe Paul McCartney's coming! He's right here!
We just had him on the show about, I don't know, a month ago or something like that. We just talked to him on the phone because he's playing Dodger Stadium.
I don't think you need to bring that up.
No, I wasn't going to bring up that you hung up on Paul.
I wasn't going to mention that. All right.
But isn't it something, I mean, there are some people who you are so in awe of for your whole life that you almost can't just be a normal person around. I mean, I was so nervous doing that interview, and I don't know if it sounded that way or not, but it's just, you know, we talk to people all the time. We talk to 3, 4, 5 guests a day sometimes, but something about having Paul on just wigged us out.
Yeah, I can certainly empathize with that.
I think that's true for most people.
What's this deal that you do that you put videos up from time to time in Hawaii where you play with an all-star band, Al? How did that get started?
Alice Cooper invited me to join him on stage for the Maui Food Bank. He's got a place in Hawaii, as do I, and as does Steven Tyler. And so Alice gets all of his musical celebrity friends together on New Year's Eve, and we do this live show. And it's for only 300 or 400 people. It's a small little restaurant on Maui, but it sells out in literally about 5 seconds, I think.
Wow.
And the price, I forget how much the ticket.
When he first came to you, did you go, what am I going to do with you guys? You're Alice Cooper.
Yeah, well, I did a couple songs on my own, and then at the end we all get together and do an all-star jam. And that's the ones that go viral. We do, come together and various other things. All You Need Is Love. It's like rock star fantasy camp. Yeah. I mean, for me to be on stage with Alice Cooper and Steven Tyler and all these people is just crazy.
Oh my, it is crazy. And do you have a lot of things like that that you'd like to do more of that are not quote unquote Weird Al songs? Just be a musician, be a singer, play instruments in other people's music. Do you ever have any fantasies of that?
You know, I get to live a lot of fantasies. A couple of years ago, I got to perform with the Pixies on stage here in LA for another benefit concert.
That's
crazy.
I got
to sing. They said, "Oh, you want to do a parody of one of our songs?" I'm like, no, I just want to sing one of your songs. So I got to sing "I Bleed" from Doolittle with the Pixies.
Wow,
it was crazy.
That is crazy. So you were able to fanboy out on them the way people fanboy out on you. That's awesome. So,
and Al, I was going to say, there's a Pixies pastiche on the new album as well. One of the songs is meant to sound like the Pixies.
Oh, there you go. All right, B, listen, I'm sorry, but we're out of time, man.
I know we are. I know
okay.
We got to go.
And is that
I'm
all right?
Great,
you okay?
Very grateful for Al's time here today. I know how ridiculously busy you are this week with the new album coming out. I hope it's been fun for you, Al.
It's been great. Thanks.
We always love catching up with you. The new album is one of the best you've ever done.
And one
I mean
of the best.
Sincerely. And you're so
it's
disappointed
like
in that.
Best.
It is funny, though, because people always want to tell you what their favorite album is. A lot of the interviews you've done this week, people come, no, I like Even Worse better. I mean, it must be, you never know who's going to hit what way, right?
Yeah, it's whatever album came out when you were 12 years old. That's your favorite Weird Al album.
Yeah. Mandatory Fun is great, you guys. Definitely check it out, and definitely check out the new video for Sports Song available at WeirdAl.com. By the way, I'm also now being told that Tacky, your video for Tacky, has hit 11 million views already this week.
Oh, my goodness.
It's insane. Al, it's your world. The rest of us are just living in it.
That's true.
Continued success, my
friend.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you. We have a new afternoon program here on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, which means we're on from 5 until 6 in the afternoon, and we have been giving you Metallica tickets today. We also have more. We have more Metallica tickets for you to give away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
We have too much paperwork is what we have.
Because
we also have Coldplay tickets, it looks like, for this afternoon as well. So we're just trying to keep everything straight and continue to give you all the good stuff. But that'll be between 5 and 6. In fact, I'm glad you joined us in here, Ralph, because we need some follow-up on the conversation that started on the afternoon show yesterday.
What's that?
Well, it was the fear that is struck into the hearts of people who work here when they receive an Evite from you.
Listen.
Dave, the King of Mexico, described it as the ring. Remember when, if you see the ring, you will die. That's the feeling, the flush feeling that comes over people when they see an Evite from Ralph.
Good people have nothing to fear from me. I'm like Batman. You know, the innocent need not fear me. However, evildoers, beware, because I will descend from the darkness.
Or normal people who have things to figure out in their life before they can respond. Those people also have to be very afraid.
That's correct.
How long does it take those people to figure out whether they're available or not on one day of the year?
Are these retarded people we're talking about?
Some of us.
Yeah, I know. Kevin and I always give a certain amount of time because I understand it's complex.
The beautiful thing about Evites, though, beautiful or hideous, is that Ralph can tell if Lisa opens it on what day and at what time. So he knows she looked at it.
And
as the host,
year,
I can tell when the emails opened.
That was news to all of us. None of us knew you could do that until last year when Ralph started screaming at us for opening them and not responding.
He would say, you opened the Evite 2 weeks ago. How long does it take for you to figure it out?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, man.
Reasonable question. I think that's a reasonable question.
Let me ask this question, and maybe we'll get some help from the listeners on this topic, too, because I'm sure you're going to have an opinion you want to weigh in with. Or you've got your own Evite horror stories. But 1-800-520-1067 is the number. I don't understand why people think it's outrageous that Ralph wants to know whether you're coming to his party or not. And he's inviting all of us to the party because we're friends of his. And it seems like that's the type of party that everybody would want to go to. That they would say, well, I don't know what I got going on in December, but I like Ralph and I have a good time at his party. So I'm going to go ahead and check yes, because that's something I'd like to accomplish.
Well, you don't want to check yes and not show up. That's the rudest, I think, right?
I agree. That would be rude.
So you really don't want to do that. And it is, as Alex pointed out yesterday, a very busy time of the year in terms of just family gatherings and just all kinds of things are going on.
Which is why we sent the invitation out a month in advance, because we figured this gives people, you know, plenty of warning. This isn't a last-minute thing we're asking you to, you know, put aside other plans or whatever. People by now should have an idea whether they've already been invited to a party on that date or whether that date is open. That's the question it really comes down to.
I think Ralph gets annoyed because he gets the feeling that people are just going to hold it open and wait for better options.
That's the only reason people don't answer, Kevin. I'm telling you, that's the only reason someone would have for not answering. Because I don't care who you are. You could be President-elect Obama. There's someone who's got a calendar someplace who can look at that date and say, nope, that's free. Feel free to check yes, Barack.
Well.
But no, I guarantee
these people are like, oh no, what if I got I got issues and things, and oh, maybe there I could have. What about work? What? Oh, but there. I heard there's a big meteor coming, and I might have to be in a bunker. Come on, there's no reason not to know a month in advance whether you have that day available or not. And it's not a thing where I'm going to take it personally if you check no. If you've got other plans on that date, you've already accepted an invitation to a party or your family's in town, just say no. I get that. But when you're planning a party, especially at your home, and you got to buy food for a certain number of people, and you got to buy booze for a certain number of people, and you have to make preparations, you really need to have some idea about who's coming.
Here's what gets me about you. Alex had a great idea yesterday, which is, and many invitations have a please respond by date, and you refuse to do that. Now, you
it's
know
that I
refuse
to do that. I didn't think to do it because I assume.
But yesterday you said, I shouldn't have to do that. It's a great idea. It gets everybody off the hook. Everybody knows when they have to respond. You know when you need to have your number set.
Because it would look more ridiculous for him to put, if you don't respond within 30 seconds, I hate you. I mean, that's not really how you want to write it.
I think it's a great solution.
why does that need to be said, Lisa?
Why are you afraid to do it?
Why can't, well, because I didn't think of it, but why can't people just open it up and say, oh, this date? Let's see. I like that guy. That sounds like a fun party. I'm going to find out whether I can go or not.
I don't know, but.
Evite has turned the art of the response into the simplest possible procedure.
Yes.
It used to be you had to get something in the mail, and then you had to fill it out, and you had to mail it back, or you'd get a phone call, someone would leave you a message, you had to call that person back. It took a lot of effort to RSVP to an event. Evite has distilled it down to its most simple form. Unless I can go inside your mind and just telepathically read whether you want to come to my party or not, nothing could be simpler.
I got to tell you,
clicking a box with a mouse.
I got to tell you, my wife throws a lot of parties, and she's always frustrated by people who don't RSVP, which is a majority. It is
the majority.
It's a majority of people.
It blows me away.
Just go, well, you know, I'm not going to let them know I'll plan to go or not, but they won't actually RSVP. But now it has gotten so much easier. But it's also given the Eviter a little too much power, and I want to know how to get around it. I want to know how I can look at it and not let Ralph know I looked at it. I need that information.
You need to hack into the Evite website.
I want to hack the Evite system.
So people here were not opening the email for fear that I would see they read the invitation and did not respond.
They all looked over my shoulder when I opened it
to check
the
madness.
There's a process. I don't understand what it is, but I get invitations to plays, and I don't respond right away, and I look at the date of when I have to respond, and I usually do it a couple of days before that.
Well,
I don't
what
know
is
why.
That?
There's
what
some process. I have to be in the right place
It's called brain damage. That's the process. You have something wrong with you.
And I'd also like to suggest that when it comes to plays, your answer is always yes. What's
true.
The point of waiting?
You're going to say yes.
All right, let's go to Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Good
morning, guys.
In Covina.
First of all, most of the time, I hate your comments. I really do. But on this one, I gotta agree with you 100%. Guys, listen, 25% of the time before the party is to be held, you respond, yes or no?
25% of the time, what?
Yeah, look.
Meaning if the invitation is a month out, you're supposed to wait
within a week.
A week or something? Is that what you mean?
A week is a reasonable amount of time.
Not with Ralph. I'm telling you, if you look at that Evite, he will be knocking on your door like a minute and a half later.
Yeah, but Ralph can be retarded sometimes.
Yes, I can, but not in this case, right, Eric?
But if you say yes, and for some reason something comes up, you can't make it, look, you simply give the host a call and say, look, I'm sorry, I know I was planning on coming, something came up, can't make it.
Right, which is worse?
Doesn't seem that hard, does it, Eric?
Is it worse to say yes and then not show, or is it worse to not say and say no and then show?
Let me
tell you something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Look, if you guys, if somebody tells me they're coming to my party and then they don't show up without giving me a courtesy call,
you kill them.
They don't ever get an invite to my house ever again.
Oh,
and I'm the Evite Nazi.
You have a brother in arms, Ralph.
God bless you, Eric, for seeing the right and wrong in this situation.
Care, Ralph.
All right, buddy.
It's everything else you say, but
simple human decency is what it comes down to.
There's also one other thing that is very funny about this, because with the Evite, there's a yes column.
Yes.
And you could leave a message, excited to be there, whatever. Right. And there's a no column. And
so you can't be here. I'm going to be out of town. Sorry, buddy. Wish I could be there.
And then there's the dreaded maybe column.
Oh, that thing.
Brian in Cyprus. Good morning.
How you doing today?
Good. Hey. Thanks.
What's up, Brian?
Lisa May.
Hi.
I hate that frickin' maybe comment because every time I put a Evite out, you get two or three people that respond maybe, and then they wait till the last minute to tell you yes or no.
Yeah, the maybe thing is totally bogus. You're absolutely right.
It's
pointless.
But the maybe people are very close. They're in bed with the people who wait as long as possible to respond because they're waiting for a better offer. And that's the only reason that people wait day after day, week after week.
Yeah. I'm not asking you to sign up for elective surgery here. I'm asking you, can I give you free booze and feed you? That's what I'm offering you. If you're not sure you can commit to that horror or not, then go F yourself. I'm asking you to come to my house. I'm going to ply you with free booze and give you good food and music. Ooh, jeez. I don't know. I don't know if I'm up for that or not.
But what if, say, you get in a car accident that day or something happens bad? You got to have your options.
I might have a car accident.
Right,
that
you
day.
Never know.
Then say yes, but say keep in mind I might be in a car wreck
okay.
the day
right.
of your party.
Thank you, Brian.
Right.
We need to take a break. I'm glad people are calling, but we still haven't found the answer to Kevin's question, which is how can he open the Evite and look at it and then patch it up so it doesn't appear as if he's looked at it? That's really what you want to find out, right?
Everything online. Everything.
There must be a way.
So there's got to be a way for that. Plus, we got some other people that agree with Ralph, and we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-106. What's the date of the party? Do you have that, Andy?
Do I have it? It's
December 5th.
It's the 6th.
December 6th.
It's 7.
So ask your wife if you can go, Kevin, and then respond.
You know Kevin's schedule is plotted out for the next 12 months. You know there's not
Absolutely.
A spare minute.
And here's my thing about that. People say, oh, you know, it's a busy time of year. The busiest people I know are the ones who know most what their schedule is. Because they're so busy,
they have to
sort of coordinate everything and know exactly what's coming up in the next couple of weeks in order for them just to get through their life. They have to have things mapped out. So those really busy people absolutely know whether they're available or not that night. And I have a hard time believing that Dave, the King of Mexico, can't figure out whether or not he's available a month from now.
A month? In Dave's fantasy imagination land, he's convinced that Kristen Bell may call him with a last-minute holiday invite that he may want to go to instead.
Akon might ask him to roll with him in the tour bus, but that probably won't happen. He's probably safe checking yes.
Yes. It's probably the best offer he's going to get.
That's what I'm saying.
The Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Let's talk to Veronica real quick. She's on line one calling from Los Angeles. If you're just joining us, there has been a little bit of a brouhaha here at K-Rock because Ralph sent out an Evite for his holiday party. Everybody has looked at it. Most people still haven't responded whether they're coming or not. And he's saying, hey, what up? Veronica, you're in a similar situation. Am I right?
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
Lisa.
Hi.
So you're having a party. You sent out an Evite?
Yes, and nobody has responded.
How many did you send out?
Well, we sent out like 75, and out of 75, I got like four maybe.
Four responses?
Like you are very unpopular.
People just
That's
don't
brutal.
Like you.
It's you, Veronica.
It's not me. I'm very nice.
Now, the evil part of the Evite is that you can tell how many people looked. How many out of those 75 have looked at it?
I'd say about three-fourths of them. And everyone's just being mean. Everyone's just whatever.
Well, you can be nice and throw crappy parties. How are your parties?
Amazing. It's going to be an amazing party. That's the
With
thing.
You and
Yeah, all five of you will have a great time.
If it's on December 6th, I'm available.
Veronica,
Kevin's looking for a better deal.
Do you get the impression that people are not responding because they're holding out hope that something else will come up the night of your party that they would rather go to?
No, I think they just look at it and they're like, oh, I'll probably end up going, but I don't really need to write this down right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it should be taken that personally. I mean, I don't know.
It's not a slight. It's not an insult. It's just sort of inconsiderate because I think the people who are looking at the Evite don't realize that it does make a difference if you know how many people are coming to your party regarding, you know, how many pizzas you buy or whatever you're planning on doing. You need to have some sort of number.
Pizza. All right. Helping make up my mind. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
We got some great suggestions on how to open the Evite and not have people know it. Why don't we start with Nick in Santa Monica? He's on line four. This is suggestion number one and see if you like this one, Kevin.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. What I do is I forward it to another email and then I open it there. And that way it's not the same email that's registered with the website. Open it and they won't know.
That is brilliant.
So you forward it to another of your own email addresses, then you can open it.
Yeah, and I did it before because I heard about Ralph Moran and I got scared of my friend for a party. And so I did it and he never knew. And I jerked. He said yes like the day before.
Brilliant.
That's a fantastic idea.
It's not a fantastic idea. You're aiding and abetting the enemy here.
I know. It's okay. I'm all right. I'm okay.
Isn't it true that Nick can't say no?
I mean, isn't that part of...
Isn't that part of how things work?
Don't take advice on how to skirt the system. That's making things worse. But Ralph said yes the day before.
All right, let's go to Anthony and Honey.
You're like Nazi party, collaborators in the 30s. You're helping the wrong side here by publicizing these tactics.
For your next party, Ralph, you're going to be walking around 48 hours before the party. You're going to be going, I don't know what's going on. I sent the invite out a month ago. Nobody has looked at it.
I've got one bottle of vodka and some canapes.
Anthony in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
So there's a preview pane option that you can have open to where it opens a second window, and you can actually look at emails without anyone knowing you ever opened it because you actually didn't open it.
A preview pane
on the Evite, huh?
Where's the preview pane?
There's an option tab, and there's a preview pane that you can check off. And I learned this two ways. First off, there was a guy from work that kept sending me nudie pictures that I wasn't supposed to open. And when you preview it this way, it doesn't show up. And then secondly, of course, the boss asking for meetings on Friday just before time to go home. It's like, I never got your email. Sorry, bubs.
Okay, you're talking about something in your email system. You're not talking about opening the Evite, though.
This is a general email thing for you.
General email thing, yeah.
Yeah, this is a general email, so you can preview any of these things without ever actually opening them.
I don't think that's going to work for what we're talking about. No. I think you need to get inside the Evite to see the specifics of the party, unfortunately. You do have to click on the link.
At Ralph's Evite, and I don't
because
see
I don't think
like
it shows
that.
Up as an email. You have to actually click into the Evite.com website in order to the invitation.
Oh.
So it registers the fact that you've entered the website.
All right, so that's bogus then.
Yeah. Okay.
So just forward it to a Hotmail account or something, Kevin. That's clearly the answer. That's
what
we'll take away from today's
story. The answer is make up your mind, yes or no, and just tell the person. That's the answer.
Might need a little time.
No time!
Just a little bit, just to figure it out.
48 hours.
We're busy. We have a lot going on.
You don't have anything going on.
Well, there's that. But, I mean, other than that.
A lot.
Jam-packed.
Yes.
You know? So
busy.
We'll get to it when we can.
Hate you all.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I lost.
You lost?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, what happened out there?
Are you serious?
No.
Did you watch the match?
No, I didn't. I was told that you won. I'm sorry.
Okay, so in France, s'il vous
plaît. Dang, horse, like, I trusted you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What did you do?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I would be racist telling you you're wrong.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm speaking, of course, of the hummer.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, D.
Roll another one.
Why doesn't my life always work out perfectly?
Just like the other one.
Whoa, that's such a hard question.
This one seems to be about to end.
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
I don't have another cent.
Let me tell you something. This ass is closed for business. This ass is in clenched in.
Show is this?
Just pass it around.
Ow! Yep, sore nipples.
But don't
so they shoot you in the face.
And now.
What's up, dog?
We're back.
Our feature presentation.
So, $2 billion.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
$2 billion with a B.
Yeah. A lot of money.
Hey, but Bombers, he's got it, man.
I'm not saying he won't miss it, but I'm saying when you're 20-something billion, you know, in the red, you can spend two on something.
I guess.
It's not that big a deal to him.
I was listening on the way in. The Clippers looks like they're going to have a new owner. Does it have to be okayed by the NBA first?
Yes. Yeah. But there's no reason to suspect it won't. Bombers, you know, super clean.
$2 billion.
He doesn't hate blacks.
Well, that is important in this particular case. But, wow, that's going to take a long time to get that back. But yes. I was listening on the way in, and like you say, B, he's got it. Somebody was saying, does this make sense financially? And the other guy goes, I don't know that it matters to Steve Ballmer. Like, it's just a play thing. It's a toy.
It's a toy. Exactly. Look, we've often said if we – there's no such thing as a lottery that big, I guess. But if we had that kind of money just to own a professional sports team, you'd want to own a professional sports team just because it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't make money off of it, you'd want to own a team.
It's crazy.
But, yeah, it's insane. I mean, that's about what the Dodgers sold for a couple of years ago, too. I mean, that's what – that's what franchises are going for in markets like Los Angeles, I guess. Pretty remarkable story.
Good luck with the ticket prices in seasons to come.
That's
well,
a good
Dave,
point.
Dave won't be going to any more games. They're definitely going to squeeze out the Mexicans. There's no question about that. Sorry, Dave. But hopefully they'll still be on TV unless they cut a deal with Time Warner.
Good morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's the 30th of May.
Got a great show planned for you today. Kevin, I found your partner in crime.
All right.
I found your broadcasting brother.
Oh, right.
You know how Kevin is not bound by traditional rules of pronunciation when it comes to words?
Yes. Yes, I do.
He didn't get all uptight about saying the letters in the right order, especially when it comes to, you know, names like Leonardo DiCaprio and Farrah Abramson and names like that. He just is, you know, whatever he feels he goes with. And that's on us to, you know, to accept or decipher or move on. But Kevin's very comfortable with that. And he has often asked, how am I still on the radio? How was I hired to be a professional broadcaster on a real radio station in a big city?
Yeah.
I'm going to say to you, you're fine.
All right.
Al Sharpton is the guy we ought to be asking this question about.
Really?
He has a TV show on MSNBC. And you've never seen a guy who has more trouble reading a teleprompter and pronouncing people's names than Al Sharpton. There are a couple of super cuts up of Al and his failures, and I'm going to play one of them for you, and we'll go through and we'll try to figure out some of the things that he's saying. And sometimes it's just, you know, there are words on the screen, and he just reads different words. Like in this one, he's talking about recalling something, and he says resisting it.
But resist we much.
Instead of we must. Right, exactly. So sometimes he's reading that. Sometimes he does see the word on the screen. He just doesn't know how to pronounce it, like when he tries to pronounce the word giddy.
We must. They're all jitty about a shutdown.
What?
They're jitty, you guys, about the shutdown.
The tortoise in...
That's a tortoise, Reverend.
Tortoise, sir.
It's not really a tortoise.
In the race. Then co-author of Hubris.
Hubris is hubris.
Hubris,
is the name of the book he's going for there.
You two lead singer Bono.
Well, I think we all know.
It is Bono.
We all know it's more likely to be Bono.
Fran Drescher.
You know, good old Fran Drescher, you know. Famous actress Fran Drescher, he talks about.
Sigourney Weaver.
How about Sigourney?
Sigourney Weaver?
Am I lying or is he challenging Kevin for the crown?
This is the best.
Dad?
How did we not know this?
Is he my dad?
He really has trouble consistently saying the very difficult name Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, one of those famous people in America. For some reason, Reverend Al isn't quite sure how that name goes.
Suspect Jahar Sanayev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh.
Good old Rush Limbaugh.
Bug or Bob?
I think it's Bog.
Who knows?
Could be Bog, yeah.
Who knows what the hell he's doing?
The show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
All right, that's close. Sotomayor is close, right?
I don't know. What is it?
Michael
Sotomayor.
Oh, so, okay.
I think he's got trouble with another Supreme Court justice here in a minute.
Is Mike McQuarrie.
Okay. Now, that's McQuarrie. Remember that assistant coach?
Wow.
Oh, right.
What was the school where they had the big sex scandal?
That was Penn State.
Penn State, yeah. He was the assistant. McQuarrie. So he's McCary.
Yesterday, Antonine Scalia.
Antonine Scalia, right?
Kim Kardashian.
Come on.
I'm fine with that. That's the only one I'm happy with.
But seriously, do you live in the world or do you not live in the world?
I mean, he is a political show and he can't say the name of the Supreme Court justices.
Yes. Yes. Or Rush Limbaugh's name.
I love it.
How do you not know Kim Kardashian's name?
Sigourney Weaver.
Kim Kardashian and the Republican candidates. Both Cairo and Benghazi.
That's Cairo, by the way, actually, Rev. The,
is it
Cairo? The title's called. Yeah, not Cairo so much.
Do you want more? I got more.
Yes, sure. I want more.
Want it all day.
Lisa. Latvia, I believe, is the country he's talking about.
We rank behind La Vita.
Loca. La Vita Loca. That's what it is going for.
You guys are familiar with Beijing, right?
Sure.
City in China.
First stop, Kazakhstan to college students in Beijing.
He's the best.
Beijing, yeah. Anyone ever been to Chipotle? Very popular restaurant, Chipotle.
Sure. All the time.
He's getting lunch at Chipotle.
Almost sound like Chevrolet.
Restaurants.
He's going to Chipotle.
Wow.
Although you may not think that's appropriate.
In Iowa, Bane is appropriate.
Oh, it's appropriate. Gotcha.
Appropriate. So yeah. Pope-like.
Got a couple more. This is another one where he's just reading the wrong words on the screen. I think it's supposed to be a gift that he's talking about.
The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires.
Nope, it's a gift. It's not a giveaway. A couple more from Reverend Al.
Why was traffic problems email sent?
That is a perfect
Kevin
example, by the way.
Wait,
that is a
Kevinism. Again.
Is that great?
Why was traffic problems email sent?
That's the guy who knows what he's trying to say, has all the words in his mind, but just isn't quite able to put them in the right
order. He's my hero.
The Environmental Protection Agency.
It might be protection. It might be the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
And what sequestration has done.
Good old sequestration. And finally, he stares at the camera, has nothing to say until he starts coughing. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Reverend Al Sharpton.
Oh,
I love him. I love him.
I don't know. His producers must just.
You think there's somebody in his ear trying
daily
to give him the right pronunciation every time? And then he said that sentence, and the guy goes, I don't know what you were going for there.
I have to assume that they give him a pass because he's a popular figure, civil rights leader. He's been around
a
long
time. He's in his 70s, right?
Yeah, he's an older man. He does get, I guess.
Come on,
I mean,
Sonia Mayor.
Why would they have. Why don't put him on TV, right?
Yeah, I don't know. And the other thing is they could run over a few of these names with him before the show.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Well,
although
we
try it with you.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, you are so on that things have now become very much like Donkey Kong.
All right. We have a movie beat today because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have writer, actor, director, part-time Kevin and Bean employee Kevin Smith in the studio with us. We have, I don't know, Charlize Theron. From A Million Ways to Die in the West.
We have an Academy Award winner on the show. Today is one of those days.
She's awesome.
She's the best.
And we have your last chance, Winnie Rose tickets in the pit and backstage passes at 9 a.m. as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnet.
1 hour from right now, the band Weezer will be in our studio. We'll be talking it up with them. Their brand new album comes out next Tuesday. You're going to get a chance to see them perform live today, acoustic. And when I say see them, I mean you can watch them at KRock.com. We're going to be streaming the whole thing live. That's 1 hour from right now at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, this is very exciting. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's time to go down to Harmontown, where the pee is yellow and the poop is brown. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Harmon joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Dan.
To be fair, the pee is yellow and the poop is brown everywhere.
Well, that, That's true.
Especially in Harmontown. You are one of the most fascinating, and I was saying this a minute ago, you're a behind-the-scenes guy who has become famous, and very rarely do you see, you know, the people who create television shows, and for folks who don't recognize Dan's name, he's the man behind Rick and Morty on Adult Swim and also Community, now on Yahoo. But a lot of times the people behind the scenes, the suits, the desk people, don't become famous, but you certainly have. This is a weird journey you're on, sir.
Yeah, you have to be really, really obnoxious. I actually hired a publicist who is here at the station whose job primarily is to keep me less famous than I otherwise would be.
So to watch over what you're doing and just make sure.
Yeah, I hire somebody. I'm like, okay, this is. I'm gonna keep embarrassing myself. it's sort of like he's like my Jenny Craig of PR. keeps me live and thin.
Is he gonna come in here and take you out at some point if you start saying the wrong thing?
It depends on how the interview goes. Right. Yeah, if I start talking about Hollywood, a guy will kick in the door and tase me.
are you not a good? Look, a lot of creative people, you know, they have problems in Hollywood. They have problems working in a structured environment. They have problems working for especially a big network that's going to tell you how to be creative. Are you not a good fit for show business, do you think, Dan? No, I mean, would you be better served doing something that is a solo project like being a painter or something like that where nobody can tell you what to do?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's a big fragmented business. I think in 1989, I was unemployable, yes. I think there would have been a certain point. And I've never worked on anyone else's show. The few times I've tried to work on someone else's movie, for instance, you know, going in to do a rewrite on certain things, like it does inevitably. I kind of self-destruct. I got problems.
You don't play well with others.
I guess I don't play well for others.
Okay,
all right. I got oppositional defiant disorder. I don't know, something like that.
But you co-created the Sarah Silverman program and created Community and were fired from both. Do you think fairly you were fired from both?
Yeah. No, well, I don't know about Community. I don't know why I was fired, and I don't know. I think it was just like, for that, it was like, the show's not generating revenue. It's not getting high ratings. You know, what's the one big variable we haven't tried switching out? I would be the first to suggest it when they would complain.
That happens a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to find a fall guy or you're not doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, fire the DP. Maybe the show will suddenly double its ratings. You know, they try everything. They try not to start with the guy that created the show.
Right.
But they eventually will try that if the light keeps blinking on the dashboard. They'll change the pilot. But that I didn't think was – I thought that was just experimentation.
Okay.
Honestly. I thought it was just like, let's find somebody that works better with Chevy Chase and see if this like magically comes together or something.
So your return to the show, was that a surprise? It had to be.
Yeah, because it was the first time in TV history, I think.
That's unique.
Yeah. The weird thing is I kind of had a weird feeling in my gut that it was going to happen because I have this weird relationship with Sony where we kind of like we started to like, you know, they're a big, powerful company that does certain things really well. And like here I am, this guy that, as you mentioned, like I don't play for others well. And at a certain point, things got so honest between us that it became a really functional, dysfunctional marriage.
Right.
I was just like, okay, apparently it's okay for us to look each other in the eye and say we hate each other and then continue to make television.
Well, it seemed that way for a while.
Yeah.
That season that you were on the bench, season 4, with characters that you created still showing up every Thursday night on NBC, what was that like for you?
I didn't watch because I knew from knowing myself that the only thing I could possibly do if I watched it was to screw it up for the fans somehow. And I knew how important the show was to the fans. And I looked down at the ground and
you still haven't seen those episodes?
No, I got rehired. So as a showrunner, it was my job. I had to watch season 4, which I knew was a bad idea.
Right. Now, I want to hear about that, but you have to tell me, were you hoping, because both could be horrible. If it was great,
yes,
that could be the most depressing, soul-crushing thing in the world.
Exactly.
If it was awful, you're watching your baby drown.
You got it.
Which one were you expecting going in and what did you find?
I don't – I was expecting it to be so good that I would want to kill myself. No. I was expecting it to be like, oh, man, of course. I suck. Like you know. And
Is that your general default?
Yeah.
Is that what you go to?
If there's something wrong,
it's probably me.
Yeah, I wake up in the morning with the assumption that I could be doing better than I'm doing. I think otherwise I wouldn't do stuff. So,
so what was your honest assessment when you saw those episodes?
I mean, I watched them and I was I got, at the time I was confused because what I was watching was not I thought it was going to be like a normal show. I thought it was going to be like you know, they got rid of me, and then I thought their big complaint about me was that the show was kind of wackadoodle, you
right?
Know?
Like, yeah.
And that I thought they were going to do like a really kind of grounded show. That's what terrified me. I thought I was just going to watch a normal show that was really funny that like functioned fine without me.
That bared no resemblance to your show. Right?
That bared a resemblance to it, but just got rid of the party hats and the the Steve Martin arrow through the head, just took that off, put on some glasses and kind of did its job well.
But
and,
instead, they tried to keep harmonizing it.
Yeah, which
they?
I thought was really admirable. Looking back at it now I'm like, oh man, those guys were, you know, that. Thank you. I mean, what a doff of the cap.
I read a description of that show, and it's inaccessible and insane, which I thought was an interesting description for a TV show.
Is that a quote from me?
No, I'm not positive where it could have been. Could have been from you. What do you make of, and this is maybe a larger conversation, Dan Harmon, but what do you make of a show like Community that can be great, but maybe just not in its right home on NBC in prime time? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. It's not a reflection of the quality. It's a reflection really of the entire environment, right?
You said it, not me. If I say that stuff, it ends up in, you know.
Nod your head if you agree.
Variety.
I can't hear you.
Times have changed overnight. The last 5 years, everything has really changed. I mean, sitcoms now we're not really in big business if we're in sitcoms. We're clinging to the idea that there's going to be another Cheers or another Seinfeld. And in terms of ratings numbers, I don't know that that's going to happen.
That may never happen again
on
right?
broadcast network TV, because what that would suggest is that something that is pre-written, pre-taped, edited, you have no reason to watch it at the same time as someone else, that everyone for some reason is gathering around the TV. And you can see that a little bit happening in fictional TV when someone's about to give birth or get married, you know, it's a special episode. But all of those shows, their beginnings predate. You know, Jim and Pam were eyeing each other over the cubicle tops before Jim and Pam's wedding episode of The Office was drawing these huge numbers.
For a long time, yeah.
And The Office itself, you know, it's like this hugely popular show. And it's like when you look at the numbers and compare them to Knight Rider, you realize like we are living in deadly times for narrative television. But at the same time, that's where you get your Breaking Bads and your, yeah. You know, now we're kind of free to roam around and write crazy, crazy stuff. And because if there's an audience of a million people willing to watch it, the suits are kind of happy. They can find a way to squeeze a little bit of money out of that. So now Vince Gilligan gets to do whatever he wants, and right. We all get rewarded for it.
So Community Season 6 being on Yahoo is a good thing then, Dan?
Absolutely. It feels like this is the way that the people have been watching the show the whole time, only now it's legal. You know, that was a big headline with Community's numbers was, oh, this show has actually successfully drawn an audience that is very sought after because this audience is unmeasurable. This audience watches TV differently. They watch it for free. They watch it. They don't watch Colgate commercials. They don't
right.
have to.
But they are watching it. It's hard to say how many. And
yeah, it's really hard to say how many. Yeah.
Dan Harmon is in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, all the things we've talked about with Community and Rick and Morty and the new movie called Harmontown that we really want to drill down into and spend some time about, because I learned too much about you, saw too much of you with your shirt off. and this was the takeaway for me is the, you know, no pun intended, but the community of your fans.
Yeah.
I mean, you are some sort of Jesus figure to these people. I mean, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because they're mostly atheists.
So we want to talk all about that, Dan. So just hold that thought. We'll be right back with Dan Harmon here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kumho Tire, the official tire of the NBA. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is 22 minutes after 8. I don't know if you noticed, but Lisa has her phone sex voice today.
I love it, by the way.
I'm going straight to my next job
after this.
Can we please find more for her to do today? This is the best. Dan Harmon is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new documentary is out called Harmontown. We were just talking about the Cine family. Where is that, Dan, where the movie is playing, the Cine family?
It's at the Vista. I think it's continuing to play there. Now I'm looking around.
It is through October 14th.
People are shaking their heads.
No.
Where is it? I don't know why I thought she could yell something. Obviously,
we can hear her through the glass. It is soundproof. Yes, we can find it. We can find it. But is that the only place in Southern California where it's showing on the big screen?
I it's just now sinking in. What a terrible job I'm doing plugging this movie. I didn't come in with my information.
It will be on iTunes and available for video on demand on November 4th. So just from a couple weeks from now, everybody can see it. So you were doing a podcast locally at the comic book store there, right? And then you decided you're going to hit the road. Now, this is one of the bravest things that I've ever seen. In your movie, you showed the road trip, the tour that you took out. And bear in mind, Dan Harmon is not a stand-up comedian. He's not a monologuist. He's a writer. So you hit the road with no act, and you just had faith that you would get out on that stage in front of these people and have something to say.
Yeah, maybe. Or that I would get tomatoes thrown at me, and that's what I deserved, maybe. I mean, narcissism, people mistake it for plain old self-love, but it's really just self-worship, like whether you're crucifying yourself or in yourself.
There wasn't that panic of I shouldn't be up here?
No, there absolutely was. I mean, okay. That's in the movie. You can see when I go to Phoenix, which is our first stop on the tour, it's the first time I'm walking into a club that has hot wings on the menu, that has pictures of you know, Gallagher on the wall and stuff, and it's like, I don't belong here. These people are going to be very disappointed. I wasn't sure if when you went out on a tour like this, if you were going to be performing for people who are walking in off the street.
Right.
Going, let's see some comedy tonight. And I was really worried, like, oh, my God, I'm going to really disappoint these people. And the irony is that because of that, I tried to be funnier than I am. Obviously, it takes, you know, 10 years to write 5 minutes of really good stand-up. And I think that was the only bad thing about it at first. I had to learn to overcome that and realize that the audiences are the same everywhere.
Let's play this clip from the film, because this is a great overview of some of the things that happen as you look back on that Harmontown podcast tour.
I and my intrepid friends loaded into a tour bus and went across the country. In each city, I got drunk and talked into a microphone for anywhere from 50 to 350 people who had all shown up because they liked my podcast, Harmontown. I crowd surfed pantsless and signed people's clothes while they were wearing them, drank moonshine, blacked out. I just remember collapsing onto a table full of hot wings.
Oh, my God.
All of that is true, and all of that is in the movie. How was that moonshine in Nashville, by the way?
I don't remember.
Ah.
They brought it up in a jar. This guy brought it up, and I took a sip. And in the movie, I take a second sip, and I go, the second sip tastes better than the third. And it's not. I'm not doing a joke. Like I'm already that temporally dislocated by this stuff.
Moonshine is a weird word that really could mean anything.
Yeah.
It could have just been straight gasoline.
Yeah,
well, you know,
exactly.
Dan.
Yeah, I don't think it was like made in a shed. It had a label on it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like absinthe. Like you don't know if you're drinking like the actual good stuff that's illegal, or if it's something that's called moonshine. But this stuff, I know one thing for sure. I had too much.
You ended up singing a lot on stage. You ended up doing question and answers. You ended up having therapy, not only with the audience members and their problems, but I mean, one of the most harrowing sequences in the film is it looked like you and your girlfriend were going to break up on stage. It got so ugly and so uncomfortable, and I felt like that was your happiest night of the whole tour. The more pain you put yourself through, the happier you are, Dan, and that troubles me.
But the documentary director, you know, he doesn't edit himself in, like, kind of goading me backstage. He was asking me the question. I think he was getting nervous, like, this movie's about nothing.
Oh,
this
I see.
And he asked the question, like, do you think there's anything you could say on stage that would make those people not like you? Do you think there's any truth you could tell them that would make them go, oh, I don't like this guy? And I was like, oh, that's an interesting question. And so I tried to answer it on stage that night. And I confessed to a lot of things. And then when Aaron came out, there were things I had said in the show that offended her. You can hear it all in the actual podcast, that episode. I think that's Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay. I think so. I think that sounds right. But you have no filter. And what do you think that's about? How did you get to the point where you can be so free with your words and thoughts, do you think, Dan?
Well, I'm a verbal thinker, and my brain is so empty of anything other than I hope people like me. I think that your average person, probably if they just take the lid off and speak freely, they'll probably hit a couple points where they're like, you know, I have sexual thoughts about fire hydrants, and they'll get fired. I'm almost asexually, like, criminally, like, kind of just self-interested. So it's sort of like the only thing you're listening to, no matter how freely I speak, is a guy going, gee, I wish everyone in the room thought I was interesting. So I think, you know, people who think one thing and say another, people who have that delay set up,
most of us have at least some kind of a filter,
yeah,
where we go, I'm
those
having normal, Dan.
I'm having these thoughts right now, but they shouldn't be said out loud.
I'm going to share a couple of them. Yeah, I'm going to put the other ones in the buffer. There's extreme versions of those people that get away with a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah. True.
The extreme end of that spectrum is called a politician. You know, somebody who pays themselves to do nothing at all, but imply to other people that they can't take care of themselves and that they should have the job of being a leader. And if they say all the right things at the right times, then they can have all the money and all the power and all the control. I don't like those people. They're vampires.
Amen, by the way. I think most politicians don't say a single truthful or honest thing.
Of course
not. At least in public.
Because if they said, I was born rich, I'm going to die rich, I'd like the job of being in charge of everybody, please give it to me, because it sounds like an easy job and a powerful one. And of course, no one's going to vote for that guy.
We've interviewed politicians many different times, and it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, they have a prepared answer, and whatever question you ask, they just ignore and give you an answer.
They go to their stump speech, basically. Yeah.
And in their defense, that we've turned that into the game. If you guys have a politician on here and he somehow says something remotely valuable, something that has a point of view,
that hasn't happened yet.
It's getting all over the. You know, it's like you guys brought that to the world, and everyone gets to click on that. It's like these political races. Yeah, we actually watch them and go, "Oh, this guy's a better politician than this guy." Oh, did you hear that guy said this? Oh, that's going to hurt him. Oh, we don't even look at them as like leaders anymore. We just look at them as like these horses.
No, you're right. As their products, basically, they're like, which one is going to get my floor cleaner? Basically, is what it is.
Yeah, which one can get through the longest period of time before he says a mistake, before he reveals humanity. And then we fire that guy. Ah, oh, Dukakis on the tank. Get him out of here.
In our remaining moments, and I knew that this was going to happen, it was going to go by too fast, Dan, but in our remaining moments, let's talk about the audience a little bit. I mean, I said that they look at you like Jesus. I don't know if that's true or not, but they definitely identify with you as one of them who made it, right? That's the sense I get, is that they go, hey, you're like me and you're on the stage, so therefore I have hope in my life that I'll be successful too. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think they feel grody. I think they feel like they're always in danger of everyone turning and pointing at them and saying, you screwed up. What are you doing? Get out of here. Everybody kind of has that inside them, you know?
Right.
There's this nerd revolution happening where we're finding out that everyone on the planet is a nerd, you know? Like, and I don't think anyone's lying. I think that we all have that feeling. And so, listen to me talk, and I don't bully people when I do the show, and I reveal things about myself, and I survive. And I think that makes people think, oh, maybe I could be okay, as ugly as I am, as weird as I am. Maybe it's okay for me to be those things.
Well, it's a fascinating documentary. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before. It is called Harmontown. All right, we did some research for you here, Dan. Last night you were at the Vista, but the rest of the screening run is through October 14th, and it is going to be at the Cine Family on Fairfax, just south of Melrose. That address is 611 North Fairfax Avenue, and it's going to be there until the 14th, cinefamily.org, for information on screening times. And then you're available on demand and through iTunes on November 4th. Hey, real quick, you said off air, Community you think is debuting on Yahoo in January?
Probably the end of January. No
Have
firm
you,
date yet.
You filmed already?
No. We're just in the writer's room. We're about up to the third or fourth episode and just germinating ideas.
And I know you said, I've heard you say even as far back as Comic-Con that you were trying real hard to get to Donald Glover back in the fold. Any success there yet?
God, I would consider Satanism as a I would draw a pentagram on something if I thought it could get him back. I've chatted with him a bit, and like I just think he's really happy out there. I don't know if there's anything you could offer him. I told Yahoo, and Yahoo agrees. Like they're like, yeah, we'd move heaven and earth to get this guy back on the show.
Right, and you'll be at Chevy Chase's for Thanksgiving again this year,
of
right?
Of course, always with the Chases. Yes,
Christmas Eve. You guys are BFFs, right? We know that much. Well, fascinating guy, and the podcast is ongoing, right? You're still doing it for people who want to continue to follow the story.
Yep. You can go to harmontown.com and. We're going to actually start video streaming the podcast for a small fee that'll cover the cost of doing it. I've invested a little bit in some servers and stuff. We're gonna slowly upgrade.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming in, man. We really have enjoyed this continued success on both your TV shows and also on the movie Harmontown, which I hope people will check out. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, top of the hour, we are going to play for you the new U2 song, "The Ballad of Joey Ramone." Which is part of a new album that you can download for free from iTunes through October 13th. Free.
Oh, cool.
You just go there and it says ready to download. You download it and there it is. And it's a great album.
That's awesome.
It's better than I think maybe the last two by them. And I'm a fan of U2, so it's good stuff. We're going to play the new song at the top of the hour. Ralph has joined us now because, look, a lot of us tweet and we do it. You know, we try. You try, don't you?
Except for
yes.
You.
Except me.
Yeah.
You do try to make it interesting or funny or whatever. You fail sometimes, fine. But the people that are out there, not to mention any names, but Jaden Smith, who is Will Smith's kid.
See what you did there? You said not to mention any names, and then you did one.
Oh,
you mentioned a name.
I didn't realize that. Is he comes from the school of, I have a deeper understanding of life than all of you. So I'm going to school the world with my tweets.
Here's the thing. There was a time before social media where if you were an arrogant blowhard, there was a limited number of people who were aware of that. There would be the people you punish with your factoids at work or at school or your family. But you'd go around thinking you're somebody and you'd go spouting off, especially when you're 16 or something and you know nothing.
Right.
And yet you think you know everything. You could go through that phrase and be just a tremendous douchebag, but it would be a limited fallout. It would only affect a certain geographic area.
So few people would know what an a-hole you are.
But through the magic of Twitter, now we know Jaden Smith is just a tremendously arrogant douchebag and an idiot. And we would like to say F you, Jaden.
F you, Jaden! It's our new feature.
Boy, his tweets lately have been nuts. Here's an example. Once you witness a cycle enough times, you step out of it.
Once you witness a cycle
I'm sorry, how old is he?
Step out 16.
Is he talking about behavior or?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's dumb. Because that's dumb.
F you, Jaden.
F you, Jaden. Once you witness a cycle enough times, you. First of all, once you witness a cycle enough times already, you can't see it a lot of times and once. You can't witness it all. You can't witness a lot of times and you can't witness it just once.
All at once. You witness
then
it a lot
you step
of times
out of it.
Then
once you witness a cycle enough times, you step out of it.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Some people do, some people don't. Stop it. How does anybody get justice?
Does he spell it D-O-S-E?
D-O-S-E. How does anybody get justice? I don't know. How does anybody get spelling?
You, Jaden.
His follow-up tweet to that. They don't. See, man? See, yeah. Scooby-Dee-Bop, I'm hip. How does anybody get justice? They don't, man.
But isn't that kind of implied in the question? I mean, you're not asking that if the answer is yes.
Of course.
He sucked you in. You thought there was going to be an answer.
I was going to...
Trick question. They don't.
You, Jaden.
In God We Trust is on our dollar bills. In court, you put your right hand on your holy book and swear to God no to lie.
What?
What?
You heard me.
Read it again.
In God We Trust is on our dollar bills. In court, you put your right hand on your holy book and swear to God no to lie. I think he meant not to lie.
Oh, not to lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, man? See what he's saying?
No.
Because the dollar bill is the holy book, man, of life. That's how people treat it. But money's not important, especially when your parents are billionaire movie stars. Then it's really not important.
Yeah.
When you have your own
home.
You, Jaden!
You're building pyramid paperweights that protect you from the gamma rays.
He's truly a terrible tweeter. I follow him because of it. He's so bad, I love it.
I love how he capitalizes every word in every sentence.
Yeah, that he does that too.
Really annoying to read.
Yep.
If a cupcake falls from a tree, how far away will it be from down? Hashtag Jupiter.
What?
What does
you
that...
You heard it.
I know.
You heard the wisdom.
I heard the words. What?
Say if again. A cupcake falls from a tree...
Why is a cupcake in a tree?
How far away will it be from down?
Okay.
So, answer, none far away. It is down off the tree. Hashtag Jupiter.
So, there's a cupcake in a tree. That's what we're starting with.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to bother with you. You don't get
I
it.
Don't I don't even know. What that is.
I don't even want to talk to you if you don't understand. Like,
you, Jaden.
The wisdom of Jaden.
I don't get it.
He's deep, man. Scooby-Dee-Bop. He's hip.
Cupcake falls from a tree. I'm out right there.
The sky is purple. Boom. Wisdom.
That's the whole thing?
Scooby-Dee-Bop.
The sky is purple?
Yeah, you heard me.
You, Jaden.
Science! Exclamation point. That was it. That was it.
That's not three. One.
Look, I like science.
Right?
Science.
Sure.
When the first animal went extinct, that should have been a sign.
When the first animal went extinct, that should have been a sign.
Yeah. First of all, animals don't go extinct. They become extinct, Jaden. The animal didn't went extinct at any point. And bin is spelled B-E-E-N, not B-I-N.
All right.
A sign. When the first animal went extinct, that should have been a sign. A sign to...
So...
About
human beings realized they were doing
there is
things wrong.
That things
or
that some species.
But what if it was natural?
When did this happen?
Actually, before people
were people
were
around
here
then
when
it happened.
So no one was here.
No one was here.
It should have been BIN assigned to who?
F you, Jaden.
F you, Jaden.
Look around. You will see.
That's not another one.
That's another tweet.
You, Jaden.
Look around, you will see.
Because you have been taught that complaining is easier than doing. It's another tweet.
But just by itself?
Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal's a genius.
All right.
At least that would make sense.
I enjoyed Brokeback Mountain.
It makes nonsense, but it makes sense. You can understand what he was going for.
And lastly, anything you see in a magazine ever is fake.
Anything you see in a magazine ever?
Ever.
So, like,
Scooby-Dee-Bop, zip. People of the National Geographic are pissed, by the way.
You, Jaden.
It's the return of our friend Fluffy. Just after 7 o'clock this morning, comedian Gabriel Iglesias will be joining us in studio. Also, the man who will be eaten alive on the Discovery Channel by an anaconda on the show tonight, or excuse me, on the show today. And our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who just co-wrote a Christmas song with the Killers.
He's He'll a new member of the Killers.
As a matter of fact, he has joined the Killers. So all that coming up this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, so we just talked to The Edge from U2,
yeah.
And now it's time to talk about farts.
Because
that's how we roll.
Radio whiplash! I don't know anything about anything, and I know even less than that about this, about the process involved in how to make your farts smell something different. I mean, obviously, whatever's coming out, whatever's going in is reflected in how it smells coming out. But this is a scientist in France who apparently, his name is Christian Ponchevel. He is 65 years old, and he has invented a whole bunch of different pills, Lisa, where you can make your farts smell like different things.
That is amazing.
They have a pill for roses. They have a pill for violets. And now chocolate.
Wow.
And now chocolate. So if you want your farts to smell like chocolate, this is the man that you need to talk to. So we thought, hey, Producer Dave, we have to talk to Mr. Ponchevel. And he joins us on the phone right now here on K-Rock. Hi, Christian. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you two today?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm also good. They're a mix for all of us having good time.
How did you get involved in the kind of research that would lead to this invention?
Well, first of all, the French know something about stinking.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And the farts, the stinky poo-poo farts.
Right.
That smell is so bad.
Right.
That come from the anus.
Sure.
You familiar? Anus?
What?
Yes.
From the butt. Yeah, from
b-hole.
The butt. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your b-hole.
I think we all understand the concept of farting.
Well, I don't know how advanced you are in the world of farts.
All right, so b-hole. Good.
The air comes out of there.
Right, we know.
Meanwhile, and then it smells poo-poo.
Right.
Okay? We're all on the same page.
I think, yeah, we all got that.
We all started there, if you don't mind my saying.
Well, the poo-poo fart of mine was so smelly.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So horribly tear-inducingly stinky.
Right.
That even for a Frenchman, I said, that stinks.
It's just too much.
I mean, and I have been in Paris in August.
Yeah.
With a body odor of a million Frenchmen just rising off of them with lines like from a cartoon.
So you know what you're talking about.
I said, this fart, poopo fart, is stinky.
Right.
This poopo fart smells like the hallway at K-Rock.
I understand. It smells bad. How do you know that?
Oh, it's legendary.
Oh, really?
The poopo smell of your studio there.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. So I noticed the different things I ate change the fragrance of the poopo fart.
Can we just call it fart, if you don't mind?
Okay, American, I'll do everything your way.
Thank you. That's how we like it.
You have to rule the world.
That's how we like it.
So you've come up with a pill that reduces intestinal gas and bloating, and you put ingredients together that can, I mean, you can basically customize what the odor will smell like.
Oh, you too are a fart scientist, I can see.
No,
you
just
know exactly what the how to do it.
Well, we read the article about you and about you.
I find that hard to believe.
Your invention.
That you read the article. But yes, if depending on what you put in the capsule, it can change the odor of your poo-poo farts.
Okay. All right, just farts. And chocolate, has that one proven popular? Are you selling a lot of that?
Oh, this time of year especially. This and Valentine's Day.
What?
Well, the ladies love
it. Really?
Nothing says I love you like just ripping one in your girlfriend's face after you take my capsule and make your poo-poo.
This is extremely unpleasant, if I can say, Christian.
Make your poo-poo fart.
Yes, your poo-poo farts.
Oh, come on, look. I think we've driven the point home enough without the sound effects.
Sorry, I laughed so hard. I had poo-poo fart come out.
Okay, so you can go to P-I-L-U-L.
Hang on, please.
Yeah.
Hold, please.
Mm. Oh, it's like being a thief candy.
I doubt that, but okay.
It's like a Hershey bar in my...
Christian, you okay? You there? Hello? Mr. Poicheval?
Yes, it's like a Hershey bar.
Right. Yes, it is.
Oh, look, chocolate. Real chocolate in my pants.
Oh,
no, that's not chocolate.
Oh, that's too bad.
Sometimes I like to listen to the radio, and I don't even know what time it is. So when I go to when I go on the dial, how do I find the station that I want to listen to and know what time it is?
Hey, Muggs, let the grown-ups talk for once. Could you please? Look, here's the thing, is that we got roped into a meeting the other day with Mr. Weatherby. And meetings don't have to last as long as they do in general.
I'm very much allergic to meetings. I can't stand meetings.
Kevin does look so miserable in meetings.
There have been meetings that I have literally marine crawled out the door. Literally just tried to get out of there because it starts off with some pretty good focus, whatever the topic is, and then it just gets sidetracked by every single person that has to feel the need to talk. Yeah. And what should take 5 minutes takes 55 minutes.
Well, some people who are just marginalized in our society in general find this an opportunity to do a, hey, look at me. I mean something now. I'm important. I have value, so I need to say something so people will pay attention to me and listen to me talk.
But the ruling on the morning show is if you get called into a meeting, there are no questions. And if you ask a question, it better be super relevant, and it better apply to all of us. Like, that's important.
Yes.
So we have this meeting with Mr. Weatherby about the morning show, and we're covering a whole bunch of topics. And Kevin's absolutely right, by the way. I think we could have been in and out of there and covered everything that we ended up covering in about 15 minutes. But instead, it was like 2 hours, right? So Beer Mug, for whatever reason, and I can't get my head around why, thinks that he's part of the morning show. So he decides he's going to start speaking up. And that leads to no good, right?
Well, speaking of social media, I like to post things on social media, and I like Instagram. And if I were to post my pictures on Instagram, I go there and I find there's another K-Rock's Beer Mug on Instagram. So, Mr. Weatherby, our boss, how do I go about getting that back for myself so that I can post my pictures on Instagram?
So that question literally happened.
Yes. And,
not an exaggeration. Not an exaggeration at all.
And just before that, social media was one of the topics, and our boss asked us if we know anything about Twitter.
Right.
Do you guys use Twitter or you have accounts?
How can we increase our profile? Right. What is it?
So
how do you do it?
Homework.
So that's a 15-second conversation because we go, we're all doing it. Next.
Yeah.
And Beer Mug brings up that question that only applies to him, really.
How do I get my name back from the guy who's using my name on Instagram? Mr. Weatherby, our boss, who has nothing to do with Instagram or has no idea really anything to do with it.
And doesn't even understand it, doesn't have an account.
Muggs, why did you think that was relevant to the group? I'm seriously asking you this question.
That wasn't relevant, and I'm not going to sit here and say it was. But overall, I probably asked four questions in the meeting, and I was 2 for 4. I had two other good questions that were relevant, and you guys acknowledged, and we discussed. But yes,
Beer Mug.
Thank you. But my bad questions were the ones to stand out, of course.
You mean all of them.
They're all bad.
Do you understand how that last question, where you're trying to get your name back
absolutely.
On Instagram, is...
That's a personal problem.
That was a personal problem.
Not worth slowing down the meeting or causing everyone to wait.
A personal problem that you should be worried about. Who gives an F?
Right.
Just come up with a name and use it.
Okay, but I did bring up...
If it was one-on-one with somebody, that's a bad question.
But I did bring up, relevant topics such as, best of bits and singles parties. But yeah, the other ones were bad, and I would like to scratch those off.
When everyone else was already talking about those things, you mean?
No, I brought them up, yo.
Yeah,
I believe Dave the King Mexico brought up singles parties,
but then I elaborated a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You chimed in on something that's already been discussed.
Here's the thing about Muggs elaborating. I'm putting that in air quotes. Is that he'll just find another way to rephrase exactly what you said. So he's not adding or
it's like
anything.
I said, he gets a moment in the sun. It's like now people are going to have to listen to me now. They
you know what Muggs
they
is?
Won't be able to ignore me now.
Here's what Muggs is. Muggs is when the city council has opens up the floor to public debate. That's what Muggs is.
Right.
Muggs is the guy who's so excited that he gets to step up to the microphone and address the council.
We were shocked at some of the stuff he was asking.
Sometimes when I listen to a commercial, the voice in the commercial is very similar to another voice that I sometimes hear in another commercial. What do I do in those situations?
See, that question started off with relevancy.
How?
You hear commercials?
No, because I was talking about the commercials we play during the morning show.
Right.
Uh-huh. And how our commercial guy, Brad, voices almost 90%
right.
of them.
Right. Right.
And that's not good to have
Listen
a repetitive voice
Listen
on there.
To
and
me.
That's your specific job because you deal with the commercials, right?
Right.
Listen
so
to me.
So if you got a wild hair up your ass about that, then you go to whoever you need to talk to about that after the meeting and you don't ruin our day with it.
But is that not during the show? Is that the commercials we play not part of the show?
They are, but they only... You're the only person affected by that issue, which may need to be asked in comparison with the last one, but not for all of us. Because Ralph doesn't care about that, and I don't care about that, and B doesn't care about that. That is your job, but ask it on your own time, not on ours.
Okay.
That's what we started yelling at you. So, you know that, right?
So,
you put two and two together.
The point of all of it, you were asking questions that were just about you, had nothing to do with wasting everyone else's time in that meeting.
So mark that in the bad category.
You need less...
They're
we
all
need
in
less
the bad category. All of them.
I
okay, we have to ban you from if we ever have another meeting. A, you're not invited. B, if you have to be there because the boss says so, zero questions.
When I drink coffee in the morning on the morning show, sometimes I like Keurig pods, but sometimes I go to the regular kitchen and get the regular coffee. I would like to ask you, Mr. Weatherby, our boss, do you know the content of caffeine from one compared to the other? Because I would like to get maximum caffeination.
That is important.
I wish.
Yeah, I think we all agree.
I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. Remember a couple years ago when we had a phone screener, Kevin, named Wendy?
Yep.
We loved Wendy. Still keep in touch with Wendy. I think she went off to work for the Petrus and Money Show. Well, her name was Wendy, which was spelled W-H-E-N-D-I-I. That's what her parents saddled her with.
That was a thing.
Oh, God.
That was a thing.
Is this, it was a Wendy.
Do you think that that's done in Los Angeles a lot more than other cities? I mean, do you think like...
Don't know.
because it does seem like it happens a lot here.
Yeah, we do run into a lot of those people. So that was 2 years ago. This year, we have a young woman who is helping us out on the phones this week, whose name is Regina. Now, that's a beautiful name, Regina. Nothing wrong with Regina.
Thank you.
Right?
R-E-G-I-N-A.
Obviously. Right, Regina? That's how you spell it, right?
It should be spelled like that, yeah.
What did your parents who hate you name you?
R-E-G-G-Y-N-A, and it's Regina. But my parents are hippies and decided to make my life a living hell.
Okay, now it sounds like you're joking about that, but let's talk about that. I mean, what's it like to have a name that everybody thinks they know how to spell, but they're wrong in your case?
It's really complicated, especially going to school, going to middle school, elementary school, getting substitutes, and they have to like kind of guess how to say it. It's very simple. It's just the way it's spelled. My parents are hippies, and they decided to put two G's and a Y in there. That's a lot.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever ask your parents about it?
Yeah, they spelt it after reggae, R-E-G-G-A-E. So they were really young parents, and really, like, they wanted to make me super unique. And my God, it's been terrible.
Here's the thing about that, if I could just speak to the unique part.
Yeah.
You're unique.
Thank you.
On other merits, not because there's two G's and a Y in your name.
I guess.
Right?
I guess. I wish I knew their mindset at the time. Like, hey, this is fine.
They're probably high.
Yeah, they were probably definitely high. Yeah. Well, we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Every once in a while, we talk to people who have honked up names. That's not what we're looking for this time. We're looking for people who have regular, normal names, but they're spelled honked up. That's what we're looking for this time. For instance, we already heard from Isaac on the Kevin Bean Facebook page. Parents thought it would be different to spell my name I-S-S-A-K. And not the normal way, I-S-A-A-C. Nobody ever spells it right.
Wow.
So Reggie's not crazy about the way Regina is spelled. Isaac doesn't sound like he's happy about it. I wonder if that's going to be the consensus on these people, is that none of them receive the gift in the spirit of which it was intended, which is, hey, aren't I special and unique because of the way my parents spelled my name? It seems like, I suspect most people wish they hadn't been given the name spelled that way, right?
Well, if I ever have kids, I'm going to give them, like, a four-letter name. Like,
yeah.
Andy, something simple, Danny or
with
something.
With a silent Z, though, right?
No, I would never. I would never do that to them.
Casey, who works with her finger on the button here at the Kevin and Bean Show, has a couple of friends that she offers up for this topic. One is she went to school with a girl named Ryan. R-I-Y-A-N. Ryan.
Nope.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Nope.
And here's my favorite, I think. And, Kevin, I'll give you $1 million if you can spell this person's version of Caitlin. The name, again, Caitlin. Is Caitlin.
And $1 million means it's got to be
$1 million. Totally
effed up.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin is K-B-P-L-Z-Y.
First of all, you forgot the silent Q, so I don't even know why you were trying.
I knew it.
Listen to this. Reggie, you're going to feel pretty good about Regina.
Okay,
you ready for Caitlin? K-E-A-G-H-L-A-N. Caitlin.
What? That's not even Caitlin.
Right? There's certainly no T in it, tell you that.
There's no way you could look at that and go, that's Caitlin.
K-E-A-G-H-L-A-N.
I mean, closer than I thought.
They might as well say, no, that's how you spell it, but it's pronounced Maria. I mean,
wow.
There's just no relationship whatsoever to these letters.
Well, I feel better.
You should feel better.
Have you had problems like, when you call a helpline or something, or a credit card company or anything else?
Yeah, well, I mean, especially with substitutes, every time I'd like have a brand new substitute, I would raise my hand. I'm like, Regina, like I would say it before they would announce it. Cause one time I had a really bad experience.
Uh-huh.
They said my name. This is the way they said it. Regina. Cause he had a really thick accent.
Of course.
Yeah,
they do.
Well,
come on, I'm the only one applauding, but we all find it funny. All right.
You
Regina.
Should just go with Regina full time.
1-800-520-1067. Regina is the name to beat. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. All right, Sublime. C-Y...
Nope.
B-L...
It's S-U-L. Just
oh, really? Because we're talking about...
S-U-B-L-I-M-E.
Regular names that are spelled all honked up, like our phone screener, whose name is Regina with two G's and a Y. What's up with that? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. From Instagram, my daughter's name is Brittany, but I spelled it B-R-Y-T-A-N-N-I. What?
People mess up her name all the time. No, ma'am. People don't mess up her name. You messed up her name. People are spelling her name correctly.
Do you think this all comes from the idea that a parent wants their kid to be separate and special?
Yes.
Yes.
And that,
I do.
And that they're wrong every time?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. From Facebook, Karen writes in, C-A-R-Y-N, by the way.
Sure.
Karen, C-A-R-Y-N. My name, ugh. That's all she has to say about it. Marisol writes in, my son's name is James. You guys want to guess how James is spelled? Doesn't seem like there'd be too many options with James, right?
There's got to be a Y in there. J-A-Y-M-E-S?
J-A-Y-M-Z is how James is spelled.
Oh, F that.
F that indeed.
Come
all
on.
Right. Let's take a couple of calls here. Let's go to Alicia on line two, please, to get us started. Well, that's a beautiful, easy-to-spell name, right? That's A-L-I-C-I-A. That's A-L-I-C-I-A, right, Alicia?
Yeah, well, it's Alicia, but it's pronounced Alicia.
Alicia?
And how do you spell it?
It's A-L-L-I-C-H-I-A.
And do you go by Alicia?
No, when I was 7 years old, I renamed myself Allie.
Allie, all right.
God bless you.
Short for it, sure.
And what's your parents' explanation for why they came up with that name?
My mother was sedated when they gave her the birth certificate, and she left the paper with the writing at home. So she kind of just made it up.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. She was sedated.
At least she had an excuse. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to John. He's on line six, please. He's in Pico Rivera.
All right. Hey, John.
How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Wacky spellings of names. What do you got?
Oh, my children, two of my children anyways, their names are Jasmine and Elijah.
Okay.
Jasmine is spelled J-A-Z-M-Y-N-E.
Oh, that's horrible.
All right.
That's horrible. And what did you do to poor Elijah?
Oh, this is my wife. Don't put this on me.
You went along with it.
You're part of it, dude.
You okay, made the goddamn kid.
That is very true, but I had no choice in that. But anyways, his name is E-L-Y-Z-I-A-H.
What a terrible thing to do to your children. Rarely do we get to talk to the parent who was actually involved in the decision. What were you thinking?
That, again, not thinking, not kind of going along with the whole thing. Didn't want to rock the boat, but...
Rock the boat, dude.
By the way, you're not rocking the boat if you give them the beautiful names of Jasmine and Elijah. They're both perfectly acceptable names, but spell it like Jasmine and Elijah and don't make your kids miserable.
Exactly. You know what? I see that now because my son goes through with people saying he's Elijah.
Of course.
And he really, really hates that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job. I appreciate you admitting what a mistake you made, and hopefully other young parents out there are listening to this and they won't make the same mistake. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Hi, Kevin and Bean. Kim writes in, I am a 911 operator, so I hear them all, but the best spelling of a common name I have heard so far is Kimberly. Kimberly, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
are
easy.
You ready?
Okay.
Q U H Y M B E R L E E, Kimberly.
That's insane.
That's hard to believe that's even a real thing.
Most of the time, these are off by a couple of letters. They use a Y instead of an I or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Just spelling that, it's so long. It's insane.
It's crazy.
Let's go to Desiree. She's on line seven. Again, a very beautiful name. She's in Moore Park. Hi, Desiree. Welcome to the Kevin Devine Show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What's going on?
What's your complaint? You got a beautiful name.
Okay, but it's spelled like desire. It's D-E-S-I-R-E. And normally it would be spelled with two E's.
Yeah.
So it looks like desire. When I write it, I put the accent mark, but on a lot of documents and things, there's no accent mark.
Is desire here?
Yeah. I mean, it is the word desire. I mean, your parents misspelled your name to actually spell another word.
Yeah, one time my mom said, well, I thought it would be easier if there were less letters. And
your mom's not very bright.
She's wrong.
Your name is not Desiree. That's just the truth of it.
Yeah. So there were a couple times. I was complaining to my mom once, and we were having lunch, and I paid with my debit card, and the girl comes back, and she's like, oh, my gosh, are you a dancer? And I
yes.
said that to my mom. Like,
see, mom, did you shorten it like the last caller just to Dez?
Sometimes I go by Dez, but when I'm answering phones or something, it's a little bit hard to understand. So I usually just go by Desiree.
Well, your mom's bad.
I think the only positive outcome of this is go ahead and embrace it, be Desire, and get on that pole, girl.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Seriously, Heidi, Haydy, really?
That's terrible.
What are you doing?
There's so many of these. We could have taken these calls until noon today.
Yeah.
People shouldn't be allowed to come up with their own names for kids anymore.
I know that seems extreme. There should be a board that okays it or says, no, go back and try again.
Exactly. By the way, which they have in Germany. I don't know that we want to be more like Germany.
No.
Something's got to be done. That's all there is to it. Hey, this special super secret K-Rock show with the Foo Fighters that is coming up at a mystery location on a mystery night is going to be incredible. You cannot buy tickets. You can win your way in from K-Rock if you want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold for a few minutes. You get a chance to earn your way in, play a game to win that. Details at krock.com.
Ralph told us in the showbiz beat that there's going to be a new Bob Dylan album, which nobody needs. Let's be honest.
First of all, how dare you?
Well, I'm saying Muhammad Ali's a great fighter in his day. You don't want to see him fight today, right?
That is an excellent point.
Bob is 73 years old now.
And he doesn't look a day over 93.
And he gives zero Fs what you or me or anybody thinks. He is definitely marching to the beat of his own drummer right now. He's on constant tour right now. He's putting out lots of records, and some of them are inexplicable, like the Christmas album from a couple of years ago. But it was just announced that his next album that comes out in 2015 is going to be called Shadows in the Night. And it is going to be an album of cover songs, of songs made famous by Frank Sinatra.
Now, Frank Sinatra is considered one of the greatest singers of all time,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
Yes. Yes.
Bob Dylan, great songwriter, terrible singer.
Doesn't seem like his voice is suited for this kind of material. When Frank Sinatra sang a song, the song had been sung, okay? There's no reason to go back after Frank and do a song, especially if you're working with what Bob Dylan's working with. But look, the guy has surprised us before. I mean, he has had so many late career renaissances. I mean, as recently as the 2000s, he was still, you know, putting out albums that were winning tons of Grammys and nominated for Album of the Year.
Do you think this is going to be one of them?
I don't think it is, but I'm saying he has surprised us before. Right. And maybe he's got some up his sleeve. He's figured out some way to make this magic work. I don't know. Dylan does Sinatra. I don't see it, but we've got Bob Dylan back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe he can tell us what's up. Hey, Bob. Well, we're great. Thank you so much for joining us. We know how busy you are. We really appreciate your time today, sir. I don't know what you just said, but we're happy to talk to you as well.
We were just talking about a new album that's coming out next year called Shadows in the Night.
Yeah, Shadows in the Night.
Where you sing the songs of Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Bob Dylan singing all the songs of Frank Sinatra in there. Show you how it's done.
Show us how it's done. Now, Bob, you're as Kevin pointed out, your songwriting is what made you famous. You're singing not so much. Why a covers album?
Because
I'm
just going to accept that was a great answer.
Mm-hmm.
What Sinatra songs do you plan to cover for the new
album? Working in the studio right now.
You're in the studio right now?
Yeah.
We can hear some of it?
Yeah. Here's the classic song is Frank Sinatra's Me and I'll do the deal.
Right.
Baby, love, Jesus, yeah, in April, shut down like the hurricane.
What happened? Those aren't the lyrics, though. I mean, you're changing that up. Is that necessary?
Make it a little better.
Better? Yeah. Oh, I see. You're improving it.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe that's not okay.
Danger in an egg. It's in the glasses. Good in the night. What are the chances? We shall love.
again, it sounds like you're just trying to work your song lyrics into the previously existing Frank Sinatra song.
No, it's a little better. That's all.
Well, that song doesn't have anything to do with a watchtower. It's Strangers in the Night.
That song was not better.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. The answer, my friend, is blowing in that wind.
Again.
For you and me.
No. The summer wind, blowing in the wind, they don't need to be. It's not a medley. Let Frank do his song. You do your songs.
Starts raining news.
I
am leaving today. Starts spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I make a brand new fan of me.
I didn't catch any of that, Bob.
What?
None of that. We don't got a lot of songs.
It's a long album.
And then,
here we go.
And me.
Thank God.
And so I see the pain came.
Final curtain, right? Can you enunciate, please, Bob?
See my king. Wish the same.
I don't understand.
Live.
A word of this.
Life is food.
Okay, I think we got the gist. I think we understand what you're trying to do here.
Highway. Moon. Much more than this.
Okay, Bob.
I did it my way.
Yes, you did.
Again.
Oh, we don't have time for the whole song. We gotta go, actually. Congratulations on the new album. Shadows in the Night, coming out 2050.
I did.
All right, Bob, we gotta go.
What I had to do.
We're giving away tickets to Foo Fighters. Bob.
Without exemption.
We have Foo Fighters tickets to give away next.
I play.
Bye-bye, Bob. All right. Thank you, Bob.
He just hung up.
He hung up? You didn't hang up on him?
He hung up on me.
How about that?
Nice.
Thank God.
All right. So, look, everybody has different tastes on lots of things. It's very rare to find a group of people who are all going to agree on one thing. But we were all knocked back on our heels this week when it somehow came up in conversation. We're talking about the holidays and Christmas music, and it somehow came up in conversation that Beer Mug hates the song Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this one this year. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Now, I would have guessed that that would be in the top five Christmas songs of all of us. I would think that that's just a modern-day classic that makes every one of us happy when we hear it on the radio.
In terms of rock pop Christmas songs, which there are very few,
right?
It's got to be top three, I think.
Yeah. It's one of the best.
Me
one
too.
Of the
I best. Think so, too.
Absolutely.
How can you be so wrong?
Classic. Here's why.
Well, first of all, you're Jewish. So why should we listen to you about Christmas music? Why should we listen to you about Christmas?
Nothing to do with
before
it.
Before you tell us why, also we need to remember that Bean runs or ran a blog, Christmas Music 365 Days a Year.
Yeah, he's right, but I don't think
he's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Exactly.
He's obsessed.
Right. But I don't think that I'm speaking out of turn here. I think I'm speaking as just a general Christmas music enthusiast that most I think most K-Rock listeners, like Christmas Wrapping. That's
right,
all.
I hear you.
Don't you think that's don't you
so
agree
far
with that?
That's accurate.
Everyone
likes it except for Beer Mug.
Here's
why.
What's wrong, Mugs?
One Christmas Eve, I ran a seven-hour K-Rock Christmas countdown show.
Okay.
And that song was featured over eight times. And by
Can I tell you why?
Because
the people love it.
Well, by the fifth time, I wanted to blow my head off, and I didn't
want to. Why didn't you go with that impulse?
Oh, I couldn't find a gun.
Damn it.
Wait, this is a one-night thing?
This was a one-night thing.
You heard it eight times, that's all?
It killed me.
I heard it 170,000 times in my life,
but
I love it.
It was condensed within a seven-hour time period, I heard it. And I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't hear the, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It was just driving me nuts. And I don't like it, and I never want to hear it again. And please do not play it again.
Well, you know how to work me.
Merry yeah, but that was your cue.
Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this
but
one
much.
This year. Merry Christmas, oh. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
But isn't that like saying Ralph went to Las Vegas one time and drank so much
right.
that he was sick?
Right.
Does that mean he's never going to drink again? Or
yeah,
does that mean he's going to sober up and the 3 months are going to go by and he's going to feel like drinking again?
Yeah, but
drinking, get back on the horse.
Drinking alcohol and listening to music, I think, are two different things. Once something gets stuck in your head,
yeah.
you guys know it, it drives you nuts.
Right. Even songs that I despise that get stuck in my head. I sort of start to like them. I think it, later.
You only hear it once a year,
right?
It's not like
every June
day
this song is haunting you.
No, but when I do hear it that one time a year, it's terrible.
All right, we need
just another reason to fire you.
Oh, come
we
on!
We need to know if Muggs is the worst or not. We need to take your calls.
1-800. Do we really need to solve that mystery?
520-1067. We're talking about Christmas songs that you hate.
There's so many bad Christmas songs.
There are a
lot. On Christmas rapping?
I don't understand that either. All right, I'm going to say this because, and I know Kevin wants to exclude me from this conversation because I am too invested
you like
in Christmas.
All
Christmas
enthusiast. Music.
But I don't pretend to be any kind of an expert, but it is a subject that I'm interested in. And I will tell you that I've read a lot about Christmas music and people's reactions to Christmas music over the years. I opened up a blog. And I will tell you that there are really
read
only
all the science on it.
Yeah. There are really only two songs that consistently come in at the top of virtually every list you ever see of the worst Christmas songs of all time. And I think we might as well get those two out of the way first. And then let's come back and take some calls from listeners
all
about
right.
the Christmas songs that they hate the most at 1-800-520-1067. All right. These are the two songs that are at the top of every Christmas list when you see worst songs of all time. Grandma Got Run Over by a Mother Effin' Reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh. If it was a Mother Effin' Reindeer, that song might be better.
That song is the worst. It really
that's the one
is.
That you hate, Ralph?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's your song. That's the one you pick, Ralph.
Above all others, I think I hate them. Well, no, there's a couple other ones. But that
what's
one...
your problem with it? Is it it's stupid?
Yes, and it's redneck. You know how I feel about the rednecks.
You love it.
Don't like them. It's inane, and it's juvenile, and it's redundant. And if you've heard it once, and, you know, the first time you hear it, it's just not funny. But the 18th time you heard it,
right?
It's anti-funny. It makes you less funny for having heard it.
But they're trying to decide whether they should open up the gifts or send them back,
send
Ralph.
Them back!
do we have a clip of Elmo
and
Patsy?
We don't.
That'd be great if
How
we
do
did.
We not have a clip from that?
I don't know.
That's a
I'll
good
tell you
question.
How, because Omar says, I don't need to write them down. I got it. That happened yesterday.
It would have been meeting. So much more effective.
In the meeting, Ralph looked at Omar and said, are you writing these down?
Do you
and
need
he said, that's
ah,
in my head.
No,
he says it's in there now. Find it.
Find it.
This is good times.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. All right. So Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer, that's on half the Christmas lists of the worst song of all time. The other one, Ralph, Grandma Was Yours, this one happens to be mine. So we're a good test group here. And that is a song that came out in 2000 that still gets played a lot by a group that called themselves New Song. And the song is called Christmas Shoes. You guys know it?
I do.
I don't think I do. Here we go.
She's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
That's a sweet song.
That has everything.
Are you already teary-eyed?
That's a sweet song. I cry every time I hear it.
But
are
wow,
you kidding me?
But what no. a bummer song.
It is a huge bummer.
Mama is dying tonight.
It's about a little boy who doesn't have money to buy his mom's shoes. He wants to give her one last Christmas present.
Oh.
Do yourself a favor.
It's devastating.
Ralph and everybody, and look at Patton Oswalt's hilarious comedy routine that he does where he dissects the song line by line. It really is so funny.
Yeah.
Whereas Grandma Can Run Over My Reindeer, they're trying to be funny. This song, they're trying to be serious, but
yeah.
it's just so overwrought and hysterical that you can't take it seriously. It sounds like a joke.
It's a horribly sentimental song.
Right.
Over the top.
Over the top. Right. Very sentimental, but it makes me cry every time I hear it.
Why does that work for you? That seems like the opposite of the type of song that would work for you.
I don't love it, but it just kills me. It's about a little kid and losing his mother. My God, how do you not cry when you hear that song?
As Pat
well,
asked,
you can't ask Bean that, but
that's
the rest
true.
Of us.
I expect Bean to have a heart. Is like, it's like asking Beer Mug to get work done.
But again, this is not me being a weirdo. This is, as I said, it's on the top of most lists of the worst Christmas songs of all time. And as Patton Oswalt asked in his routine, since when did Jesus get all bitchy about what footwear you're wearing when you get into heaven?
He's a little kid who doesn't understand. He just wants to get his mom new shoes. He wants to give her a Christmas present.
He's an a-hole for trying to pay in pennies. That's what he is. All right.
A little kid shows up with a handful of coins trying to buy his mom a present. And Bean wants to pick on that child.
Yep, that's a terrible song.
You're
it's
a
terrible
human being.
Terrible song.
I wish
all
you
right.
a cartoon death.
So we got the waitresses. We got Grandma got run over by a reindeer. We got the kid with the new shoes. Give us a call. What's your least favorite Christmas song? The one that drives you crazy? You hate it when it comes on every holiday season. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
You can say that. I can't remember the words.
By the way, we're talking about the worst Christmas songs of all time here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can also weigh in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, or on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. That's a song like Your Precious Christmas Shoes, Ralph, that was so popular that they turned into a book and also turned into a movie.
Yeah.
That grandma song. All right, let's go to Dennis. He's on line 8. He gets us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you guys doing?
We are good.
What's up?
Feliz Navidad.
What? How do you not like Feliz Navidad?
Makes you want to run my car into a wall.
Feliz Navidad.
That's a great song.
Feliz Navidad.
Christmas song you can shake your ass to.
Feliz Navidad.
We also got a on Twitter, Jenny writes in and says, Feliz Navidad, I can't stand it. The guy just repeats two lines for three minutes.
That's true.
That's a lot
it
of
is,
Christmas songs, though.
Yeah,
a lot of songs.
A lot of these. If you want to hate a Hispanic Christmas song, hate that freaking Mamacita, Donde Está Santa Claus. That thing is a freaking
love
nightmare.
Love that song.
I know you should die and go to hell.
Do you hate
this song about a little kid buying his mom's shoes, but the horribly stereotypical racist Mamacita, Donde Está Santa Claus song, that's on your
I hope he won't forget to crack his castanets and to his reindeer say, O Pancho, O Vixen, O Pedro, Blitzen, ole, ole, ole,
Santa Claus,
Mamacita.
Yeah.
No.
Donde está Santa Claus?
He's a reindeer,
best.
Pancho, and Pedro. Why don't you just put a sombrero on the kid and have him take a nap?
Let's go to Greg. He's calling about the Christmas rape song. He's on line 5. This is one of the most disturbing songs in Christmas music history. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
We're good.
I really don't like Baby It's Cold Outside just because it sounds like she's going to get raped.
No idea what you're talking about, either of you.
It's only in the mind of you and Bean, Greg.
No.
Everyone else, it's a beloved Christmas song.
Baby, It's Cold Outside is a song that goes back to the 1940s, and it's a girl who's trying to leave the guy's apartment, and he keeps giving all sorts of excuses as to why she can't go, because it's snowing out and it's dangerous, and he's essentially roofying her and having his way with her.
What are you talking about?
God damn it, you're creepy.
It's not so rapey.
All what
that
the case
song is. Super. Have you looked at the lyrics of that song? Have you heard that song?
I used to sing that song.
Here's a tip.
Not surprised.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
There's what? Bean, you're sick.
You're a twisted effer.
You're sick because they're both having fun in that song.
And she's like fighting against what she really wants to do. It's like, oh, my, you know, the neighbors will talk.
Right.
And my mom's waiting up for him, but she really wants to stay and party
with this guy.
Coercion.
Yeah, you're
That's
right,
all
Ralph.
In your
you're
mind.
Right. No doesn't mean no. You're absolutely right. All right, let's move on to Brianna. She's on line 2.
Bean's upset that it didn't work when he tried.
Yeah. Brianna's got another one that's on a lot of lists of the worst Christmas songs of all time.
Hi, Brianna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, I hate Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
I don't think I know that.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, do I?
Do we have a clip of that, Wonderful Christmas Time?
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that, Brianna.
It's awful.
It's pretty simple.
You're right, Brianna. It's awful.
Come on, Bean. It's pretty simple. Come on. That song is awful.
Yeah.
Kevin, it's pretty simple is not a compliment. You understand that?
No, but it's not harsh enough.
I'm saying it's simple. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why it gets so repetitive and people dislike it so much.
It's a typical McCartney song. It's like just a bunch of bad rhymes.
His later second graders wrote his music career.
Yeah. Lights are up. I have a pup, and it's not a cat. It's where it's at.
Here's one that that you'll love hearing from, Ralph. This is Michelle. She writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. My least favorite Christmas song of all time, honestly, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, I hate Remember that, that song one? So much.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy.
That sounds like an older woman doing a child's voice. Is that true?
She's 11. Gail Peavy singing that song is 11 years old. Still alive today, by the way, living in Oklahoma.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Cartoon guy.
I wanted to get a hippopotamus for Christmas because they kill more people in the wild than lions or elephants.
That's true.
I would like a hippopotamus to maul her to death.
All right, let's get a couple more on. Mike is on line one. He's got another I think controversial choice for the worst Christmas song.
Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing? What's up, Lisa May?
Hello.
Hey, so and keep in mind when I say this, I am all about Christmas. I love Christmas.
Okay.
I just cringe when Santa Baby comes on.
Oh. Santa Baby, slip the table under the tree. Tonight.
It does seem like it's trying too hard with the sexy Santa puns a little bit.
Wrong.
I feel that way, too.
No, I love it because of that.
How many sexy Christmas songs are there?
And it's usually sung by someone hot.
A hot chick who wants to get nailed under the Christmas tree.
Right.
Yes, that's why men like it, Bean.
That's all good.
I enjoyed watching Maria Menounos singing on last week's Mindy, by the way.
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
would like to see that. All right, let's do one more on the phones, and then I've got one to take us out. Johnny is on line six. Another very controversial choice, I think. I think we're gonna be split on this one.
Yeah. Johnny, hi.
Good morning, everybody. Do they know it's Christmas?
Now, what's your problem there?
Stop playing that. Please.
You're high.
Why? Why don't you like it? Because you want little kids to starve?
Well, you know that part that says, here's to you, raise your glass to everyone, here's to them, underneath the burning sun. It just gets me upset. It really upsets me.
Get you upset.
It makes me...
I'm not positive here. I think Johnny's trying to be funny by stealing...
I think he is, but he's failing miserably.
By stealing the throw-up thing.
Again, right. In terms of rock pop songs, it's got to be top three of all-time Christmas.
I think so, too. It's a modern classic and deservedly so. Let me close with one more. You guys decide. The great Tiny Tim will close out this segment on Christmas songs. You tell us whether this is one of the best or one of the worst songs of all time. I'm sure you know it.
Oh, this is Santa Claus saying I won't be around this year. I'm a bit sick. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Oh,
and he won't be around to spread his Christmas cheer.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
What?
The reindeer all look blue. They know what he's going through. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
I'm in. I don't know about you guys.
That's a terrible song on every level. You're bringing AIDS into it, making fun of it.
It's not me. It's Santa.
No, it's just whoever wrote it. That's a terrible, terrible Christmas song.
Bean's a joy to work with.
He needs to be arrested, doesn't he?
Put down.